scratch about.
Gentlemen of the board and lady, question, what is failure?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Did you know the average person spends a year of his life watching inspirational YouTube videos without actually making a difference? The average person will believe what I'm saying because I talk in a cadence that sounds thought out and factual, when in the actual, it has no meaning. It's easy to talk shit about technology and rhyme it with biology. It sounds like I'm saying something, but really I'm just saying some things. This isn't too hard to do. Simply take a phrase and reverse it. But make sure to do it fast, because if you're not too careful, the phrase might reverse you.
And now,
that's all I'm gonna say, because it's time to eat pancakes.
Our feature presentation.
Right? Who's with me?
Dustin Penner.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday, the 14th of September.
Good morning, Kevin.
A lot of NFL action over the weekend. How fun was that?
Crazy NFL action, too.
So good.
Crazy.
Arizona Cardinals won. Dolphins had their first and only win of the season.
Oh,
you know,
you.
Right?
It's true. It's true.
But Seattle.
Wow.
I mean, let's all agree on Seattle.
Wow.
Right? For those of you that don't care about football, the Super Bowl happened about 8 months ago or 9 months ago, and there was a play at the end where everybody said, hey, that may have been the worst call ever.
Mm-hmm.
They were sort of in the same position again. It was fourth and one. The last time they passed it when they should have run it. This time they handed it to him, and he didn't make it. And that was so... It was so sweet.
It was.
Why was it so sweet?
It was. I actually yelled, why didn't you pass it? And then I laughed.
Turned the ball over, and they on that play, they lost.
Unbelievable.
Is there any chance he did that on purpose? Stay
just
with
to,
me.
Okay.
Yes. Just to wash the taste out of their mouths. Just to get everybody to shut up and move on.
Right? Like see? It didn't work. It wouldn't have worked in the Super Bowl.
Let's hand it to Marshawn. The offensive line, let him through.
Right.
And this will put it to rest.
No.
Is
no.
there any way?
Nope. Mm. But I love the thinking.
That'd be pretty smart,
absolutely.
Right? But they're not as smart as I am. That's the problem.
No, and Mad Pete Carroll. I know you guys love Mad Belichick. I love Mad Pete Carroll so much. It's so good.
So that was bizarre. And also they did an onside kick. Why did that happen?
There's so many things that happened that I questioned yesterday between Eli's last minute when he didn't have the clock keep going, when he threw it and he should have maybe just gone down.
Now that was Giants Cowboys?
The Giants game.
I didn't see the end of that one.
It was bizarre. my mind was blown that Eli basically lost the game for him, and then Tony Romo saved the game for the Cowboys.
Mm.
What's happening? Tony Romo threw it to one of his own players.
What?
And they won the game, you guys.
What? Was it completely because of the Giants' failure?
Completely.
Oh, that hurts. That hurts.
So good.
So good.
It's the best day ever.
Did the Eagles win?
No, it's tonight.
They play tonight. Okay, good. Yeah. We always have to check when Ralph's coming in, you know.
Yeah.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Not interested.
Oh.
All right. Andrew Siciliano will be here to talk about the weekend. He's in studio. He works for the NFL Network. Very excited about it.
I think he worked 70 hours yesterday.
I'm not positive that that's
Listen,
possible.
I'm not good at math.
Okay.
But I believe I added that up correctly.
He is on the red zone, and that was so sweet to have back. So nice.
Yeah.
So anyway, we're going to have him in studio. We're going to talk about the NFL weekend. We have Danny Elfman in the studio.
Yes.
K-Rock legend Danny Elfman, of course, from Oingo Boingo. And then since then, he's done, I don't know, how many soundtracks? 1,000?
Again, not good at math, but I believe a zillion.
A zillion.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to tell you a special event that he's doing on Halloween night.
Can't wait.
And I think they've added a day on the 1st of November, so that's going to be fantastic. We'll talk to him about that. You fought over complete nonsense. We were talking to Beer Mug after the show, and he's got like every story of his.
Yeah.
Ends up with a fight.
It's weird.
And it's never over anything important. I don't know. I don't understand that, but...
And he seems like a chill dude, so why is all of this coming his way?
Bad karma?
Mm-hmm.
I'd guess.
Bad karma.
I don't know. And we're going to check in with Harvey Levin from TMZ.com as well to talk about the celebrities this weekend. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat and Ralph next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:53. Ralph Garman is here in his jersey for tonight's game.
I am. 4 o'clock kickoff. Don't forget, it's a doubleheader tonight, so it's early. Don't miss it. Be there or be square. Aloha.
You're playing Atlanta?
Me, personally, no. I'll be watching the game.
Eagles play in Atlanta?
Eagles will be playing Atlanta, yes. In Atlanta. And they're a 3-point favorite in Atlanta. So that's got to be a touchdown, right?
Yeah, I'd say so. It's 6, right? Yeah. Technically. Yeah.
Technically, mm-hmm. But 6.
I know.
Come on.
I know. It's Atlanta.
6.
I know.
I'm concerned, though, because it's a new team.
Yeah.
And Atlanta has a pretty good defense. So who knows? Who knows what could happen? But I'm excited to have football back.
Same.
As I'm as excited as I am frustrated that the Giants can do nothing right, even when they're handed the game.
Wow!
Twice a year I root for the New York Football Giants.
Wow!
Twice a year when they play the Dallas Cowboys, and I say just do that.
Yeah.
Do nothing else right, but do that. Beat those guys, dopes.
This is why you fail.
Mm-hmm.
Eli. Gave him 40 extra seconds, and they scored with like 17 seconds left in the game. Dallas did. So that 40 seconds meant everything. Stupid. Stupid. Stupid.
Did you by chance see the post-game press conference?
I didn't. Hope Coughlin's head exploded, though.
Coughlin was blaming himself. Eli was blaming himself. They were like arm wrestling for the blame.
No, yeah. It's me. Seriously, I screwed up.
Seriously, 100%
my
me.
Decision.
Nope, totally
no, my
decision.
Well, think of that before you do the dumb thing. Whose fault is it before the dumb thing? Although, it's Eli, you know.
He's got to be smarter than that.
He's not. He's a mouth breather.
Oh.
He's a giant, helmet-wearing, mouth-breathing kazoo.
Wow.
And so when you send that play in, if you're coughing, you have to say, and you lay down. If it doesn't go well, you just take the sack, Eli.
Just get on the ground, Eli. Do it. Nope.
Anyway, hoping for better results tonight, though. Let's take a look at the weekend box office. As we do every Monday morning, see what people went to see in the movie theaters over the weekend. The Perfect Guy, $26.7 million at number one. That's the movie about the guy who seems too good to be true, and he ends up being a crazed stalker for that girl. Morris Chestnut stars, along with Michael Ealy, and it was a big hit. Then right behind it, The Visit, in its debut. $25.6 million. That's about the grandparents who eat their kids or whatever.
Put them in the oven.
Get in the oven. Those are number one and number two. Those are your top two movies. This is proof positive that Americans will go see anything in a movie theater. Anything. What two movies looked more predictable, cookie cutter crap than those two films? All right. Well, we got to see a movie. We don't have any choice. We have to go to one of them. Madness. War Room was third with $7.4 million. A Walk in the Woods and then Mission Impossible Rogue Nation were the top five. Straight Outta Compton, No Escape, The Transporter Refueled was eighth. 90 Minutes in Heaven came in at number nine, $2.2 million. That's the other...
What's happening?
That's the other faith-based film with our boy Hayden Christensen, remember?
Oh, he's an actor.
I went to heaven for 90 minutes, and I came back, and everyone, I'm here to tell y'all, God is there.
What's with the accent, Hayden Christensen? Like a hee-haw extra. And then un gallo con muchos huevos at number 10. All right, well, let's move on to the big story of the day. Congratulations, Betty Cantrell. Woo! Woo, Betty Cantrell.
Betty Cantrell.
No one else is thrilled about our new Miss America?
Oh, sure.
She's
Georgia.
The queen of America. People should know what's going on. When America picks a new queen, I think it should be newsworthy. She is Miss America. She is the Miss of America. Of all the misses in America, she's the one who's the most Miss.
Right.
America. She's Miss Georgia. And she was, I don't know. I don't know what happened.
Anybody watch that?
Nobody
nope.
Watched that. So. Let alone! Back in the news.
Uh-oh.
Word is that she had to cancel her appearance at the Toronto Film Festival. Because she is a criminal.
Oh, they wouldn't let her
Canada
in.
Canada wouldn't let her into the country. Canada's tough that way. They seem to be our benign neighbors to the north, always full of smiles and a handful of poutine when you come by and say hello. They'll give you a maple leaf and a hearty handshake. But if you're a criminal, get out of our country. We're not interested. We don't want your problems, America. I heard they're building a wall and they're going to make us pay for it.
Really? That's what I heard. How are they going to do that?
Well, they've got a big president
That's
up there
insane.
Or something. So she couldn't get in. Yeah, you know what? If we have to take Justin Bieber, they can babysit Lindsay Lohan for
That's
a weekend.
Right. Agreed. Come on, Canada.
Canada.
Step up.
Lindsay, by the way, according to Radar Online and sources therein, is back to being just a complete mess.
No.
Has been partying nonstop, has cut almost everyone out of her life, just off the rails.
Changed you got her, a problem, lady.
Changed her phone number so her family and friends can't get in touch with her. Mm. She's just jumped into the deep end. So I don't know what's going to happen with her. I know she's not going to Canada.
She's not going to Canada.
Not much we know for sure. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Oh, come on, Dave.
Dave.
Looking at this list here for the first time. Bachelorette winner Ryan Sutter, he says, is 41. Look, and I watched the show, and I don't know who the hell this guy is. So let's take him
Scratch him right off.
Andrew Lincoln. You know him. He was, our 15th president, I think? The rail splitter?
I don't think that's...
Is he not?
He used to read by candlelight. I know that much.
Is he not Rick Grimes?
Oh, that's right.
Walking Dead.
Walking Dead's Andrew Lincoln.
I think.
He looks good for his age.
He's not.
42 years old today. Sam Neill. Sam Neill. Come on.
Two first names.
Sam Neill, Jurassic Park. Damien, the Omen 3.
Is he the old guy with the beard?
No.
Okay, then I'm out.
Richard Attenborough. He's the guy. Well, they do move in packs or whatever. Come on. Jurassic Park, Kevin.
Yeah.
Jurassic Park. The guy from Jurassic Park.
The only guy from Jurassic Park is Richard Attenborough. Come on.
Or except Sam Neill, the one who's actually out there in the wilderness with the dinosaurs.
And the dude from
the
Fly.
Kids. And Jeff Goldblum, was also... it's the first showbiz of a week, and I'm already just
Come on,
winded.
Ralph.
I'm winded.
We're still buddies.
I'm Ralph Garman.
Dr. Alan Grant.
Thank you, Dr. Alan Grant. Like, that's going to help him, Allie.
Nothing.
God bless you for trying, but you think if he doesn't, if he
I
can't picture the guy's
face.
If you give him a character's name, he's going
to
go, oh, you should have said Dr. Alan Grant, of
he's
course.
He's a little girl.
Allie did say that, and then she stared right at my eyes to see if there was any reaction.
No. Not a flicker.
No. Nothing there.
Dr. Alan Grant might as well be a velociraptor in Kevin's brain. It's the same thing. When the picture comes up, it's the same exact image. They can't differentiate man from beast. It's just, there's nothing there.
How dare you?
Now I know how the Giants feel when they play with Eli. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Coming up later this morning, we have Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network to recap the weekend that was. And we have Danny Elfman coming in the studio.
So excited.
This past Saturday night, I was at the LA Galaxy game, and I had a celebrity sighting.
Mm-hmm.
I saw James Corden.
Yeah.
And James Corden is, A, he's awesome, but B, Allie loves him.
I love him.
Like, unnaturally.
He is so funny.
He's
so witty. I loved him long before he got this job at CBS. He's a brilliant, comedic value of a man. Plus, he's on Broadway. He's so talented.
Yeah. My first thought wasn't he's so talented, though. Mm-hmm. It's I need to burn Allie.
Yeah.
By tweeting at her that I'm at the game with James Corden because I know how much she loves him.
It was mean and hurtful.
So I started the tweet, and first I typed out James Corden.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, oh, you know, I should use his Twitter handle. So
sure.
So then I did a search. And when you're at a game, at a public setting, sometimes the internet will slow down some.
Okay.
You know the autofill feature where you start typing in a name and
then
nothing was happening.
No.
So I tried James Corden. I tried James Corden Late Show, and I was trying to find it. I couldn't. So finally, I just closed that out. He was like three people over in the row behind me.
Sure.
So I finally closed that out. And then I went to the internet. And I just wrote James Corden official Twitter.
Wow.
Right?
Really going for it.
But there's James Corden, you know, 76. There's James Corden UK. There's so many fake James Cordens. It really did get to be probably 5-6 minutes on and off on and off. I was watching the game, too, but on and off, I would go back to him and go, how can I not figure out what his Twitter handle is? This is ridiculous. The guy hosts a TV show.
Yeah.
It can't be that difficult. So then I typed in Late Late Show, just that, to see if I could get to their Twitter. Maybe they've got it on there. So still stuff moving pretty slowly. Wasn't quite sure. Like, well, it doesn't seem. Maybe it's James Corden UK. I know he's British.
Did you think, oh, forget it.
I did.
It's not worth it.
Several times I thought that. But then I thought, but it's going to make Allie mad.
It's nice.
So then I'm back in. So then I would continue, and then I'd stop, and then I would continue, and then I'd stop. So after a while, I'd say, I don't know, five, six, 7 minutes. It seemed like it was much longer. I kept typing. I was like, Late Show, James Corden. And then I finally just went with James Corden UK. I was just like, that's a pretty good guess. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that it's that. JamesCordon. And I hear a voice behind me. The guy sitting right behind me goes, it's Corden. And I was really upset. I was like,
why are you spying?
Yeah, dude, first of all, you're reading my cell phone. Second of all, the guy's two seats over. Why would you? And I turned around and it was James Corden. James Corden, in the time that I was trying to compose that tweet, had switched seats, was sitting right behind me, and was watching this nonsense go down.
I love that so much.
And he just leaned forward, and he said with a little grin, it's Corden. And I turned around to yell at him, thinking it was somebody else, and I was like, oh.
Thanks, yeah. Mr.
Thanks for that.
It's a great picture, by the way.
Right?
Great picture.
So then I had to have him take a picture. I wasn't even going to include a picture until, you know, the embarrassment.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No, I was just like, oh, I don't want to bug him. I don't want to say anything because he's having a good time and he doesn't know who I am. He doesn't care. Right. So who cares? Just let it go. But when he leaned forward and corrected my spelling, that's when I was like, okay. So then I turned around. I was like, okay, just give me your Twitter handle. You've seen me struggling with this. Just give it to me. So he told me what it was. So it's JK. Corden.
Yeah.
Corden.
And worth it, right? All of that?
Well, I don't know that it was worth it. Mm-hmm. It was worth it, actually, because of your response. Because you thought you were having a great Saturday night.
Well, I went to the New Beverly to see a double feature of Airplane and Used Cars. And you may say to yourself,
wow,
that's a great Saturday night. Heck yeah, it is. Airplane, I've never seen that in a theater.
I haven't either.
It was wonderful.
Okay.
And here's the thing, Kevin. Before the movie started, the guy that comes out before and says, put away your cell phones, we're not kidding around here, blah, blah, blah. He said, hey, stick around. If you're going to leave for the second movie, stick around after the first one because we might have a special guest for you. And we're all looking around like, oh, is it going to be Ted Stryker? Who is it going to be? And he said, one of the original Jive Guys.
Oh,
right?
So you stayed?
No.
What?
I left.
It was one of the Jive Talkers.
I had something else to
what?
Do. I know.
You didn't have anything else to do?
I did. Ish.
You didn't.
I didn't. I'm
more excited about Jive Talker Guy than I am Ted Stryker.
I know.
Why wouldn't you stay?
Because I did. I had something.
So who
to
won,
do.
You or me?
You did.
But barely, because I sort of embarrassed myself a lot.
And I didn't stay for the Jive Talker.
Yeah. So we both fail.
Yeah.
All right, good. My daughter said, yeah, oh, yeah, I saw him looking over your shoulder. I said, why didn't you tell me? And she said, funnier. On Monday mornings at this time, we welcome Harvey Levin from TMZ.com to the show. Good morning, Harvey.
Good morning, guys.
How was your weekend?
It was good. How was yours?
It was good. It was fun.
Good.
Yeah. Do you get like 75,000 calls a weekend, like I imagine you do?
Yeah, I mean, it's work is part of the diet.
Right.
It just is. You kind of accept that after a while, so it's fine.
So tell us about your Saturday night and Nick Young.
Well, my Saturday night wasn't like Nick Young's Saturday
right.
night. Nick Young was at a club in L.A. and got in some sort of an altercation inside the club at Damon Buster's. And it was a Damon Buster's. And he left, and there was a big fight outside, and it got bigger and bigger and bigger, and the cops were called, and by the time the cops got there, they said, we need reinforcements. So they got more cops there, and they needed more reinforcements, and they got a helicopter over from LAPD.
Oh, my.
And finally, they were able to kind of, like, stop everything. But it looks like, you know, I just think, it's funny, I was looking at this, and I was thinking about it, and I think, I was always thinking that, you know, anger and alcohol are a really bad combination.
Right.
I've changed my opinion about it. I think ego and alcohol are more dangerous than anything else. Because I just think when people kind of feel their oats when they're inside a place and I don't know.
Might it's be an entitlement thing, you're saying?
I don't know. It's just kind of like you're the star, you're inside the place, and then somebody does something you don't like, and you're drinking a little bit. And mm-hmm. I just think, I don't know, I've just seen that so much over the last 10 years here.
Online, you make it sound, in this article, it makes it sound like he was mad at a friend of his.
Yeah, they got in some kind of a fight, but then it escalated. It started with two people. And you know the song One Voice? And all of a sudden, by the end, the whole choir singing?
That's what was happening?
It was kind of that.
That doesn't seem good.
No.
No, it was not good. But, I mean, it just to me, it was so funny that the LAPD shows up, two cops show up, four cops show up, six guys, helicopter shows up. I mean, it was a scene.
It escalated very quickly. Yeah.
Crazy. Let's talk about the other story that you have on the site, which is Miss America. This is a weird thing because
oh, yeah.
It was like 30 years ago.
Yeah.
This, to me, is the weirdest story I have seen maybe this year. This happened in 1984, and they come out to last night and they say, we apologize to you for anything we said or did.
And this is Vanessa Williams.
Correct. And remember, I mean, back in 84, it had come out that when she was 19, she posed for Penthouse Pictures, and it was this very graphic, these very graphic pictures. I should say, I mean, my personal bias here is I think Vanessa Williams is amazing, like awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That said, what are they apologizing for? I mean, what did they say or do back in 84 that they're apologizing for? They never said it because she ultimately, you know, gave the crown up herself.
Yeah, so they didn't strip her of the crown. So
what are they apologizing for?
Did they say, if you don't give it up, we're going to take it from you, maybe?
Well, let's say they did.
Right.
So let's say they did. And back in 84, they're saying you should have disclosed these pictures and you didn't. What are they, I mean, if it was okay, cool. But what are they apologizing for?
I don't know.
So I think what this is about is they just wanted to get Vanessa Williams onto Goose Ratings.
Right.
And they said, we'll apologize to you. And it's good because we did a story on Wednesday that it was so screwed up that when I think by Thursday, Vanessa thought the pageant was going to apologize to her. And somehow people in the pageant thought she was going to apologize to them. And they were at this standoff. Well, I know, which is
crazy. What? Why would she apologize to them?
It's crazy. I mean, honestly, I didn't believe it. But Mike was, my news director was right in the middle of this thing with people talking. And I kept saying to Mike, I don't believe it. And Mike has convinced me that they, in their heads, they somehow thought she was going to apologize, and they now said it was a miscommunication, but ultimately they bent, because you're right. I mean, what would she apologize to them for? It makes no
I don't understand sense. Why either side is apologizing. It doesn't make any sense to me.
No sense. It makes, I mean, look, when you strip it away, it's all about ratings. I mean, they got Vanessa Williams on Miss America.
And they got a bunch of stories about it, I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
Other
That's
than
right.
that. So other than that, who's watching that show?
Right, but I mean, this, I don't know. To me, it's just the weirdest thing.
You also have, you also have Gary Busey on the site talking about Dancing with the Stars, and he says he's watched every dance of every minute of every show.
So he's prepared.
Do we believe that?
No.
Harvey, do you believe that?
Well, I mean, I love Gary Busey.
I do, yes. Too. I do, too.
Of course I don't believe
There's
that.
There's no possible way he watched every dance of every show.
Of course he didn't.
Although I'm going to watch because I do love me some Gary Busey.
But maybe in his mind, it all kind of replayed in it.
Well, it's possible. You don't know what's going on in his mind.
He sleeps and he watches Cheryl Burke dance.
Harvey, thank you. TMZ is on Fox Monday to Friday at 6 p.m. There's also TMZ Live that airs Monday to Friday at 4 p.m. on Fox. We appreciate your time every Monday morning, Harvey. Thank you.
Good talking to you guys.
Bye now. Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network on the way to talk about the weekend that was. First, let's talk about a strange phenomenon coming out of Japan. They have something now called quiet cafes.
Yeah.
Have you heard anything about this?
Apparently, it's a allotted amount of time where you go in, you don't talk, you sit in silence, you read, you just really get to know yourself over a cup of coffee, hushed tones when you're ordering.
That sounds terrible.
It sounds terrible to me. But
I don't know. But it seems to be hugely popular with people in their 20s and 30s in Japan. They love it.
Yeah, they said 70% of the shop's customers are women in their 20s and 30s, and they stay for an average of 90 minutes to 2 hours. I have never not talked for 90 minutes. I think you can all attest to that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well, we do have the manager of the Cafe Keshi Pearl. The manager is Tatsuya Nikiyama. Is that close,
sir? I feel
sir?
Like you nailed all that.
Is that close? Hello? Tatsuya?
Hello, Cafe
Keshi Pearl. Oh, wow. You're really whispering. We can barely hear you. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Okay.
What do you want?
Was it your idea, this whole quiet cafe thing?
Now, why'd you come up with a quiet cafe? Were people just being too loud altogether, so you said no talking?
Well, in the hectic life.
Oh.
What was that?
Wow, that's...
Sorry.
Were you just grinding coffee right then?
Oh, someone shushed me. Oh. I'm talking too loud.
Okay.
In the hectic time of the city. Be quiet. I'm sorry.
Hey, Tatsuya, aren't you the manager?
Yes.
Well, can't you tell them to be quiet?
No, except it's the rule. You have to be quiet here. What don't you understand?
No, I understand that, but I'm saying, aren't you the person that's in charge of this quiet cafe?
But I tell them that there's going to be no talking, and then you make me talk.
Oh. Okay, well, we just want to know about the cafe. How is it doing? How are people receiving the quiet cafe?
People like it very much, but they don't like anyone to interrupt. Okay. Oh, God. I hate these people.
You hate the people that are there?
Yes. I don't know what I was thinking.
It's your cafe.
I know. It seemed like a good idea at the time. But not that seems a good idea.
Are you in your own private hell right now?
I can't get any business done here. What are those shushing me? You shush! You shut up! You shut up now! Why don't you shut up with the shushing? Shut up! Oh, you talk too much! You don't, talk enough! Now you're wrong! You don't talk enough! Are you stupid? I hate you! I hate you! Oh! Oh, God!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes till 7 o'clock. We just gave away the tickets that we had for the Sundown Music Festival. We're going to clear the lines, and we're going to open up for What's Good. You call...
What's good?
You call any topic...
What's good?
And we'll put you on the air. What are we missing? What are the topics that we're missing? Maybe new TV shows? I just set my DVR for Bastard Executioner. Just set my DVR for New South Park. Mm-hmm. Come on, people. Things are happening.
Yeah, but besides television, there's probably stuff
sports
on people's minds.
Sure.
Besides sports and television. Whatever you're interested in, maybe you think we're not covering it, give us the heads up. Tell us what's good, and we will talk about
what's
it.
What's good?
What's good?
Do the next 1-800-520-1067. Right now it's time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
As it is Monday morning, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Here's what I'm discovering. If you want to make money in movies, you have to make a giant blockbuster film, preferably about someone who has superpowers in some way.
Okay.
Or you start targeting specific subsets of the audience.
Okay.
Like, let's say, the African-American audience, which is often underserved by motion pictures that they would be interested in. Or maybe the God Squad. Maybe you need the pastor to start filling up the school buses and bring them to your theater. This is how you make money in the movies. Because The Perfect Guy, a movie which was lambasted by critics as predictable, and pretty much you saw the whole movie if you saw the trailer, right. Number one at the box office, $26.7 million.
So you think there's organizations out there that are just trying to make sure this doesn't fail?
No. I'm talking People about The Perfect Guy. This is the African-American thriller.
Okay.
With Morris Chestnut. And I'm saying is that it's an underserved audience. so that if you make a film with African-American leads in a story that might be compelling for that subset of the audience, they will go in droves. You have to find the audience that's not being served if you want to make a movie a hit and give them what they want. And that was the case. Perfect Guy, number one over the weekend, $26.7 million. But I'm talking about like War Room, for example, or 90 Minutes in Heaven, two faith-based films. Also did very well in the top 10 this weekend because that's what happens. These churches and these pastors will buy out entire theaters and get school buses and ship their parishioners in to see the movie because they feel, finally, here's a movie I can safely take my flock to that talks about things that are real, like heaven and Jesus and God and smiting and smoting and smitting.
You also have to pick a weekend when there's nothing else coming out.
Well, that's right. Yeah, you don't that put helps. It up against the Avengers, for God's sakes. But Perfect Guy number one, The Visit. That's another thing, an underserved market. Grandparents who want to murder their grandchildren. Where do those people go to see a movie? Well, they have to go see The Visit. And that made $25.6 million in its debut. Then War Room, one of these faith-based movies I talked about, was third. A Walk in the Woods, Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation were the top five. Straight Out of Compton, No Escape, The Transporter Refueled, 90 Minutes in Heaven, with Hayden Christensen giving what I think is probably an Oscar-winning performance, just judging from his accent in the trailer.
I died, and then everyone thought that I wouldn't come back, but I did.
Not quite sure what accent he's doing, but he's doing one. And then Un Galo con Muchos Huevos at number 10. Hey, look, hey, look, hey, look, T-Swizzle in the news. Taylor Swift, she's horrible.
Yes, she is.
David Mueller, a radio DJ in Denver, got fired back in 2013 after Taylor Swift accused him of grabbing her butt. What? He is now suing Taylor Swift, claiming he didn't touch her anywhere. He says it was a different dude who apparently tried to grab her butt, but Taylor Swift pointed at him. J'accuse, she said. That's I accuse you in French, Kevin.
I don't think she said it that way. Huh.
And her people called his radio station, and he was fired 2 days later. He says, I was there with my girlfriend.
Well, he's bold.
Right? Her security was surrounding her. I was in front of tons of people. There's no way I could have done that or would have done that. He defends himself by saying he's met hundreds of radio and music personalities over the years, and he'd never had any problem, and he said there was no evidence of an inappropriate butt grab. But David's bosses decided to fire him anyway. He's claiming Taylor Swift made him lose his job, and so now he is suing for an undisclosed amount of money.
There's not much butt there on that stick figure.
No. Who's trying to grab that, really? Maybe trying to push her down some stairs or something. I could get that, but not grab the butt.
I did get a lot of tweets over the weekend asking if it was Bean.
Well, yeah, sure. Well, sure, if Bean had been in the room. Yeah. Well, he's got a long, long history of inappropriate butt grabbing, so that true. Would make sense. This poor guy, David Mueller, by all accounts, never had any kind of problem before. It was completely out of character for him. Hmm. Here's the thing. I think it's probably the case that he is innocent, because if you did try to grab a butt and you got busted and you got fired for it, you're not bringing that story up again everywhere. Certainly not in court. I get the sense that this guy's going to court to fight it. He genuinely feels like he was falsely accused and is trying to defend not only his reputation, but try to get his job back or get a job someplace. I can imagine no station would hire him with that
history.
Oh, wait,
you're the butt grabber?
Are you the Taylor Swift butt grabber? So
alleged.
I wish him the best. And speaking of Taylor Swift and courts, this is a great story. This is my favorite. You know, we've been following this for some time. It turns out she's just a bully, Taylor Swift, a bully. You know, she tried to get this Lucky 13 brand of hers up and running.
Right.
It turns out there's already a Lucky 13 clothing company right here in Southern California. And they were like, hey, you know how you're always seeking to protect the artist rights? Is that just your own? Your own artist rights? Or how about everybody else? Like this company over here, we're trying to make a living. So Lucky 13's Bobby Klutzley is still trying to get evidence and depositions to support his case that she was infringing on their trademark. This is the fourth ruling in this court battle so far that has gone in front of a judge, and the fourth ruling that has found in favor of Lucky 13. This ruling is that Elizabeth Arden, the perfume company, must produce documents related to Taylor Swift and her Lucky 13 brand by September the 28th. Now, why is this important? Because apparently Taylor Swift went to Elizabeth Arden and wanted to start a Lucky 13 perfume. They said, we're not interested. Now, they think the reason they said we're not interested is because Arden did a trademark search. And Lucky 13, the brand, the clothing brand, came up and they said, well, we can't do that because then we're opening ourselves up for a big old lawsuit.
Interesting.
So they want to get all the papers and the research that they did involving that search so that they can use it in court. And they're still waiting for Taylor Swift, by the way, to do her deposition. She's been pushing that off, so they're trying to get the date going.
But doesn't it seem like it wouldn't be that difficult to just
Google it?
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, that's the premise, I believe, of the suit, is that they feel she knew very well going in.
She just thought she could overpower
him. She said, I'm Taylor Swift. I want to do this. I'm just going to do this. And she's claiming that she knowingly violated the trademark and the copyright for Lucky 13. So, I mean, this is four separate motions that they have filed in four separate times that a judge has found in their favor. So it's moving forward. And she's, you know, her team has been dragging their feet. And so for her to keep this in the courts is doing herself no favors. But apparently she believes she's above the law. And I say no one's above the law, especially not you, Taylor Swift. And I hope someone grabs your butt.
Wow.
You don't mean that.
I don't think that.
You don't mean far.
No, I don't mean that, no. Because why would I want to wish that on someone else? I don't want to wish a handful of that to anybody. It seemed like nice people. Those people that I don't know. I'm just going to move on to celebrity birthdays at this point. Andrew Lincoln, you know him. He's the guy who shoots all those zombies.
Can't wait for that to come back.
He's 42 years old today. And actor Sam Neill. Anything there for you, Kevin, since the last time we spoke? Did you look up a picture? Did you identify him?
Don't really care.
Star, of course, of Jurassic Park and many, many other films. Terrific actor.
I like him in everything.
Australian. He's 68 years old. And it turns out, we just found out, hey, there we go. Does that look familiar to you?
How about that?
Does that guy look familiar
Not
at all?
Even just a little bit familiar, but very
You've
familiar.
You've seen him in a ton of movies, right? Mm-hmm. A ton of movies.
Mm-hmm.
How about that?
Thanks for the visual aids, Allie.
You're welcome.
Sometimes you need flashcards for Kevin
I'm
just
here
to
for you.
Give him an idea. And also celebrating birthday today, just found out, breaking news, our own Beer Mug celebrates his birthday today.
Wow. Awesome.
Yeah. How much is he going to eat today, do you think?
All.
On his birthday.
And by the way, he's been saying for a long time he's going to stop doing weed tomorrow.
And the 30 pounds drops today. Starting today, the 30-pound drop happens. He's put on like 8 pounds since he announced that last week. So. But tomorrow, once his birthday celebration is over.
And then it's on.
No more weed.
That's right.
Strict diet. Exercise. He's going to be a new man.
Note to self, order a lot of food
he's gonna
tomorrow.
He's going to be a new man. Tomorrow is a brand new day for Beer Mug. It's the dawn of the new mug. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. We're going to take a break. We'll come back with What's Good.
1-800-520-1067.
What's good?
You call now. We'll talk to you next. 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number for Kevin and Bean's What's Good.
What's good? Come on and let us know what you want to talk about on this show. What's good? Come on and let us know what's going on. Time to go. What's good?
What's good, people?
1-800-520-1067
is the phone number. We start with Gage in Huntington Beach. Hi, Gage.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. What's good?
All right. So I was going to talk about these new Apple products that Steve Jobs just released.
All right, so you got the new iPhone.
Yeah.
Good.
It's got good picture quality, but I'm talking about this pencil that he came out with. It's literally pointless.
All right, so the Apple Pencil is what, $99, right?
Yeah, it's $100, and you get, I mean, you can write, draw good on Snapchat. That's about it. That's all I got out of it.
But don't you have to use the new iPad Pro?
Yeah, and it doesn't come with the pencil. You have to buy that separately.
Yeah, exactly. But it doesn't, like, after you get the iPad Pro, it doesn't really have any feet. Like, it's just a pencil.
Do you have the Apple Pencil?
Yeah.
He's why?
Just waving it around for no reason.
Why do you have it?
I like Apple's products.
Me too.
Android, but this is just like, I don't know, Steve Jobs kind of.
Well, let's not blame him since he's no longer with us, but.
He's less alive than he used to be.
Yeah.
But wait, so I like Apple products as well, but I have so no interest in a pencil that I have to use with a new iPad that's the size of my head.
Gage, are you one of those guys that just needs everything new that comes out so you were giving it a shot?
I wouldn't say I don't need it, but, you know, we are in America and it's available, so.
That's a good point.
All right, so you got the Apple Pencil and you're calling to tell us that it's ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm just letting the world know, don't buy it.
Here's the announcement from Apple about the Pencil.
We've designed Apple Pencil.
By the way, it's spinning around in a circle.
Of course,
all
yeah.
Beautiful photography.
This began by re-engineering the touch subsystem of the display to measure both finger and stylus input on the same plane with optimal accuracy. When you're using the Pencil, the system scans twice as often, allowing iPad Pro to capture more points in a single stroke.
I see.
Highly responsive sensors built into the tip of Apple Pencil work with the iPad Pro display to detect position, force, and tilt.
They play some jamming music behind it, though, don't they?
And I think the whole thing behind the Pencil was years ago, Steve Jobs actually said, why would you ever have a stylus? You get it, you lose it. They're so pointless. And then all of a sudden,
they come
out. Whoa, look at this. We've got this new Apple Pen.
But Pencil.
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 My bad.
I've almost lost it already 3 times already. So.
Yeah, you're going to have to keep it on a string.
Well, you need to buy like a grip of them. How much is a grip of pencils?
a
dozen? I don't know. You need to buy a bunch so you have backups, Gage.
Huh. Yeah, I guess so. I hope it comes in the warranty.
I'm sure it does. I'm sure it does. Thank you for the call. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. We're going to take a break. We are going to come back with, you got in a fight over nonsense. The smallest possible thing that you got in a fight over.
And can I get in a fight with Gage? Because I don't think the Apple Pencil's even out yet. So maybe he's just using a pencil.
Do you think he's lying?
I don't know. Is it out? I don't think it's out.
Yeah, you're right, because neither is the iPad Pro.
Right.
He's lying.
Well, that went well.
Son of a bitch. On the way, we have Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network talk about the weekend, and we also have Danny Elfman in studio talking about a very cool thing that he's doing for Halloween.
Excellent. So
that's coming up as well. First, let's talk about you got in a fight over the tiniest stuff. We were talking to a random employee who we're not going to name.
No.
Who was telling us a story last week about basically getting in a throwdown over, was it coffee or a microwave?
Machine.
I couldn't
even
figure out exactly what caused it. So we have random employee on the voice changer so that they can't be understood.
Right.
We don't give away who they are.
We can understand
that. That's what I meant. We don't give away who they are. Random employee, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Very good. Now, did I describe it correctly so far?
Absolutely. Okay. It was a fight over coffee and a coffee pot.
Okay.
Okay.
Walk us through it, because it's always fascinating to me when you feel like you go from 0 to 100 in a second and you go, I didn't even know I was in a fight and now I'm about to throw a punch.
Well, I make several trips to the break room every morning to get coffee. Mm-hmm. And right when I walked in, this other employee sees me washing out one of the coffee pots with water, just a little bit of soap and water, like I do, because it has that stale coffee taste.
Right.
And he starts yelling at me of how I'm wasting 8 gallons of water washing out the coffee pot. I'm like, no, I'm turning on the sink for like 5 seconds and just giving it a little rinse. So he starts yelling at me for that. And then he's making his own coffee pot. And I proceeded to move the coffee pot and put my own cup underneath the drip
system. Oh, you did not.
He lost his S.
Hello? What?
What the hell? Why is that happening?
What are you talking? He lost his S.
Yes.
So you put your coffee cup.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Hello. Test. Check. 1, 2. Anyway, I put my cup underneath the drip system and I moved the coffee pot. And he proceeded to start yelling at the top of his voice, why the hell are you doing this? This messes up the flavor of the coffee. This messes up the strength. Why you do this every effing morning? I said,
oh, now, wait a minute. Is this an ongoing problem? I thought this was just a one-time thing.
This happened the first time I did this. He
said, what?
Why is the
voice? What? So Muggs.
Wait, hey! Come on!
So Muggs.
I'm supposed to be anonymous here.
Right, I know. Have you gotten in a squabble about the coffee before? Because I thought this was the first time.
There was a precursor to this squabble, and it happened. Why are you even changing my voice anymore?
That's a good question. I like it better.
There was a precursor to this squabble, mm-hmm. and he kind of was subtle about it the first time. Mm-hmm. He said, "Why are you doing that?" And I said, "Well, I just need to get coffee because I need to go back. You know, we're doing a show, and I just have to get coffee to everybody." And he said, "All right." But the second time, I mean, he woke up on the wrong side of the bed because he lost his S, and he was yelling at the top of his lungs. And to the point where I started yelling back, I said, "Dude, relax. This is just coffee we're talking about." And enough to the point where I'm like, there's people in the hallway. They're hearing this right now.
"Dude, relax" is always reliable. Yeah, that's helps. A go-to. It helps every time.
And men, if you could say that to a woman you're fighting with, definitely go for the "relax." We love that.
"Dude, relax."
Yeah. And
did you at some point think that you were going to actually have to throw...
Absolutely. I thought we were going to go throw them bones.
I just like the voice changer better. It's more interesting. All right. So we want to take. So did you end up? How did you get out of it? Did you run?
I said, "Listen, man, we're talking about coffee. You need to relax. This is not a way to talk to another person about coffee, especially in a work environment." I stormed out of there.
And you stormed out of there?
I stormed out of there.
Showed him.
I was pissed.
Walk on, beer mug, walk on.
All right, so 1-800-520-1067. If you got in a fight, the more minuscule, the better.
Yeah,
the
more just stupid.
Insignificant, so can't possibly matter to anybody else. Like Muggs did.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, it was Muggs, right?
It's probably Muggs.
It was all Muggs.
How dare you?
We're going to take your calls, 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with Phil in Anaheim. Hi, Phil.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thank you.
Morning.
So you got in a fight over something tiny.
Yeah, it was a cup, actually. We were at Disneyland at the arcade in front of Space Mountain playing air hockey.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And my buddy was cheating. He was leaning his arm on the table, so we ended up wrestling it out on top of the table.
Okay, wait. Okay, hold on. So what you're saying is you were playing air hockey at Disneyland, and your buddy you thought was cheating?
No, he was.
Okay, he was cheating, fine. Okay. How much do you care that he's cheating?
I was pissed, man. We were playing for the cup.
What's the cup?
Right? Is it a cup with Goofy on it? What's the cup?
It was a little cup, Allie, but it was the cup, and it was the finals, and he was dropping.
Wait, this was an actual. This was an actual tournament happening?
No, yeah, it's at Disneyland.
Yeah, there was like three of us who were in the tournament. But
so
come on now.
It was just you guys playing.
Yeah.
And, and was the cup one of the cups that one of you had when you walked in?
No, it was at the house.
The cup wasn't even there.
You didn't even have the cup?
This is sounding worse and worse, Phil.
So you ended up on top of the air hockey machine wrestling with your buddy.
We were literally wrestling. I was trying to get the puck handler out of his hand, and he wouldn't let it go.
And at Disneyland, I would think, would frown upon
no,
such
they like
behavior.
That.
They
love
do?
It.
They,
oh,
love,
they
oh.
love it. They encourage fighting.
Never mind.
How long did it go, Phil, and how did it end?
It ended with our friends pulling us apart, and we walked out of there, and we couldn't play any more air hockey together.
Oh, that's a sad ending right
and
there.
Typical dudes, you were fine a second later, right?
Oh, yeah. He was my best man at my wedding.
Cool. Good to know.
All right, good. All right, thank you for the call, Phil. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
1-800-520-1067 is the number. We'll talk to you next. AJ Goodrich writes on Twitter at Kevin and Bean, "I threw my phone and punched my brother when he started to sing a song I love the wrong way."
Hashtag get it right.
Get it right.
Right?
That seems like it's a pretty small thing to get in a fight over.
Well, it depends on the song.
Yeah, I guess so. Let's go to Jose and Downey. Hi there.
Good morning.
You got in a fight over nonsense?
Yeah, 80 cents, actually.
80 cents, okay.
Yeah, I was 14, my brother was 12, and we used to go walk around the neighborhood and watch cars, so we did a car, and they gave us $10, and we decided to go to the store. We decided we were going to buy one item each, and those 80 cents left over, and he wanted the money, and I told him no, and then he got really upset and decided to punch me. We got in a huge fight in front of the house, And to the point that my grandma had to come in with a broom and hit us both so we could stop fighting.
So when Nana charges you with a broom.
Nana with a broom is never a good sign.
You know, and then after that we stopped fighting. So we went into the room and then we're looking at each other kind of pissed off still. And we just started laughing.
Yeah, but at some point you have to go, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Yeah, so after a while it was hilarious, but still at that one point I was pretty... You know, we were both upset about it. I ended up giving him the money anyways.
Yeah, it didn't matter. It's the concept, man.
Yeah, it was. I was older, so I think I deserved the money, right?
Yeah, of course. He was a dick. You did the right thing, Jose. All right, thank you for the call. That's what I told him. Let's go to Andrea in Los Angeles. Hi there.
Hi, how are you guys?
Very good, thank you. You got in a fight over something tiny.
Yes. So my husband and I, we went on our honeymoon in the summer, and we really wanted to go see the Indiana Jones show at Hollywood Studios in Walt Disney World.
Okay.
And I told him we should go in one direction, and then he was like, no, babe, we got this. He went in another direction, and we get stuck because the damn Frozen parade just decides to keep going.
Oh, the Frozen parade.
And we're cast members, and we already hate Frozen. And so we're listening to the Frozen parade for 15 minutes. I get so fed up that I just start, like, yelling at him. I was a little drunk, too. But I was, like, starting yelling at him. I was like, how could you go this way? How could you do this to me? And then we ended up being late for the Indiana show, and we got sat all the way in the back, so we couldn't see anything. And for the rest of the day, I was just mad at him.
He ruined your honeymoon, Andrea.
That's such a sweet honeymoon story.
He ruined your honeymoon.
Young love, right?
He did, because I really wanted to see Indiana Jones, and... Yeah. I didn't really get to.
All right. But. Did he tell you to relax at any point?
No. Probably he just kept buying me more drinks to make me happy.
That's a good man, Andrea.
That's a good man. You got yourself a good one. Thank you for calling. Let's go to Jake. I've had neighbor wars before. They can sometimes be over complete nonsense. Hi, yeah. Jake.
Hey, Kevin. Hallie, this is Jake. So I tried to call in for the neighbor war back in the day, but this is kind of in the same place. So I'm from La Crescenta, a very small town, residential streets, and I have a neighbor across the street from me, and sometimes I would come home late from night, and I would park in front of his house.
Okay.
And every time I'd park in front of his house, something would happen. Like, I would get my car egged, or I'd find a nail in my tire, or, you know, some crazy stuff was happening.
So you're not in his driveway. You're just in front of his area of the street?
Just in front of his area of the street. And our street is, like, empty. Like, it shouldn't really matter to him.
Okay.
So I accused him one day of throwing eggs at my car, and he did not take that very lightly. And he started yelling at me. This is, like, a 50-year-old man, by the way. I was, like, 17 at the time. And this guy gets in my face and is screaming, and he finally said that if his daughter comes home late at night, she's going to have to cross the street, which is about 10 feet, and she might get hit by a car.
That was why he was so angry? Was he the one egging your car?
He was the one egging my car. He was the one putting nails in my tires. We live across the street. He even walked over with pesticides and sprayed my parents' plants.
What is happening right now?
Did he ever talk to you about it? Did you ever have a conversation where he said, hey, that really bugs me?
Only when I accused him and he almost threw the haymaker.
Wow. 50-year-old throwing eggs.
Imagine being his daughter. Let's be honest. Yeah, that's got to suck. Shock.
Yeah. His daughter, like, profusely apologized because I had to go to high school with her, so that was really horrible for her.
Sorry about my dad throwing eggs and all that. He's so not cool. Thank you, Jake, for the call. We appreciate it.
I've got something from Chrissy Becker on Facebook.
Yep.
She got into a shouting match with an old friend over whether or not elephants could jump. By the way, no, they can't. Thank you, Chrissy.
Yeah,
what?
Over
what kind of argument is that?
That sounds like a terrible argument. Who cares?
Well,
even if you know, who cares? If she doesn't understand if they can jump or not, who gives a crap?
Well, what if her friend was like, yes, they can,
well,
and then you just want to prove to her?
You got
to
throw blows sometimes.
Yeah, you got
sometimes
it.
You have to.
Absolutely.
Ralph, in Los Angeles. Hi there.
What up, Kevin?
What up, Ralph?
What?
You got in a fight over nonsense. What was it?
Nonsense. It was serious at the time, all right, Kevin?
You what?
It was serious at the
serious
time.
Serious at the time.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, it was serious. Very serious issue.
Right.
I was in the fifth grade. Brother was in the seventh grade. We were playing WWF SmackDown on PlayStation.
Right.
Sure.
So at the Rock, of course, he had Stone Cold. Ended up kicking his ass. He got mad. He started throwing words at me. So I told him, come on. He ended up putting me in a Benoit headlock. After that, he beat me. He started arguing some more. And then after that, he didn't talk to me for 6 years.
What? What? He didn't talk to you for 6 years?
6 years over that issue. And then he forgot about it. I'm like, dude, like, we were talking about it after all that happened. Like, you remember why you didn't talk to me for 6 years and I forgot? Because of that night we were playing WWF SmackDown. Yeah, so, but he put the SmackDown on my ass.
Wow, that's a scary thing.
Exactly.
And you did it legally, right? You beat him legally.
Legally.
By the rules.
1, 2, 3, tap, yeah, and everything.
Wow. Hmm. He's a dick. All right, thank you, Ralph. We appreciate the call. Is that what the segment's called? I don't remember. Let's go to line 6 and David in Upland. Hi, David.
Hi, guys.
Got in a fight over nonsense. What was it?
Well, we got over a fight of how different cheeses melt.
What?
How different cheeses melt?
Yes.
Like exactly cheddar melts better than Jack type of thing? Or?
Yes.
Who was in this fight with you?
It was my ex-girlfriend at the time. Well, we were going to a barbecue and we were going to the grocery store. I said, oh, they asked for us to pick up some cheese. So I was like, okay, let's go get some. She says, okay, we'll pick that one. And I'm like, okay, I didn't think anything about it. And I pick it up and I'm like, you know, just out of curiosity, why are we getting this type of cheese? And she's like, oh, because the other cheeses don't melt.
All right, now, David, let me just interrupt you here and say, why did you care about that? Just get whatever she wants.
I don't know.
You had to call her on her BS.
I had to. It's just the opportunity just presented itself. And my brain just told my body to just shut everything down and stop moving. Yes, my brain just basically said, hold on, we need all the brain power to figure out why this just happened right now.
Okay.
So we were sitting there for about a good 5-10 minutes just arguing over, wait, the yellow cheese, the cheddar cheese melts better than this one. So, yes, for 5 freaking minutes.
Right. All right, thanks for the call.
Who fights over cheese?
I don't know, but I feel like that was his fault.
Yeah, just let it go. Get the cheese. Put it on whatever.
What do you care what kind of cheese you get? Just get the cheese. That's what we're saying, right? John and El Segundo, hi.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thank you. You got in a fight over nonsense. Can you beat cheese?
I don't know, but it is a food product.
All right.
Me and a buddy, best friend growing up, about 12 years old, and he went into my pantry and grabbed the last Hostess Ding Dong.
It's on. That's on.
And so, yeah, so we got in an argument, and he decided he was going to take it to his house across the street and eat it. He's walking down my driveway, and I pulled out a pellet gun. About 10 feet away, shot him straight in the back. And that led to a full-on fist fight in the front yard.
Well, he took your ding-dong.
He did take your ding-dong.
Never touch a man's ding-dong.
Wow.
Said it for years.
That's a good tip. Thank you. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:54. If you go to kevinandbean.com, you can look at RJ Bell's post. He has his picks for the NFL.
Because he's RJ Bell, 2-0.
He's 2-0. Not bad.
2-0.
Then he picked.
He's
2-0. And then he picked the 49ers tonight. So we'll have to see how that goes.
And he picked the Niners tonight.
You can get that along with a lot of other stuff at kevinandbean.com or krock.com. It is 7:55. Andrew Siciliano joins us in the 8 o'clock hour. Right now, it's time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
The fact he wouldn't touch the Eagles tonight scares me. He's like, who knows what's going to happen with that team? They could just. That's the bed. Who knows? Leave it alone. Don't get near it. It's poison.
That seems like a questionable team, questionable coach. A lot of questions.
How
Ralph.
Dare you?
A lot of
I
questions.
I got questions for you.
It's not a question.
For you right there.
You just point at that. It's
that
not
was
a
disturbing,
question.
Disturbing.
Will you?
What I just saw.
No.
Talking about fights.
Mm.
Nobody beat this guy when it comes to fights over nothing. Over the weekend, I don't know if you saw this, out of Louisiana. Rural Louisiana, which is really just...
Louisiana.
But it's like Florida North, really. Three men dead.
Over
karaoke.
Ooh, three men dead over karaoke.
Yep.
Started at a house party Saturday afternoon where a group of men had gathered to watch college football and sing karaoke. But an argument broke out over
wait,
the music
wait,
choice.
Can we stop
Who gets
there?
Together to watch football and karaoke?
Well, what are you going to do at halftime? Break out the karaoke machine.
No, you don't.
Yes, you do.
That's absurd. You're absurd.
You make dip. You eat.
You make dip, Ralph.
Okay. Now, here's your choices. You're drunk. You want to sing karaoke, or you gather everybody in the kitchen and make some
you
dip?
Eat dip.
Now I'm on the side
of
karaoke.
You didn't dip. You said make dip.
But I misspoke.
Sounds like a good time to meet. Football and karaoke at the half. But an argument broke out over the music selection. You know it is when you're karaokeing.
Sure.
And you want to sing Summer Nights from Greece with your girlfriend. But the other guys, they want to do Doo-Wah Diddy from Stripes. And
I'm
then,
sorry.
Boom.
Did you at the beginning of this story say three people died?
Why don't you wait for me?
Okay.
So that led to a fist fight. The fight over the music.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Then things escalated when 60-year-old Rodney Chemin pulled out his gun, shot three brothers dead.
Holy what? Crap.
Then turned the gun on himself.
Oh.
So four men dead, really.
Wow.
Neighbors described the shooter as a friendly man. And they're shocked. Shocked, I say.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a fight over nothing right there. That'll give you something to think about.
Karaoke.
So everyone, just calm. Just relax.
You know what they should have done?
Just relax.
Yo, bro, relax.
They should have made dip.
They should have made dip, Ellie. Right? You're right.
Thank you.
I don't know of any dip-related deaths over the weekend. But there may be one here in this studio. Monday morning, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. The Perfect Guy was the perfect movie for audiences this weekend. 26.7 million dollars made it number 1. Then The Visit in its debut made 25.6 million. War Room, A Walk in the Woods, Mission Impossible: Rogue Nation was 5th. Straight Outta Compton, No Escape, The Transporter, Refueled. 90 Minutes in Heaven in its debut only made 2.2 million dollars. That made it number 9. Then Un Gallo con Muchos Huevos.
Sure.
Came in at number 10. Well, Jimmy Fallon made the right choice on Friday night when he booked Donald Trump to be his special guest, pushed the show to a high in the ratings for the past 18 months with about 4.5 million viewers tuned in to see the Donald.
I didn't see it, Ralph, but how early in the show did Jimmy start with his impression?
The first thing! The first thing before he brought him out.
I knew it.
Was the Donald interviewing the Donald in the mirror. Only Jimmy was on one side of the faux mirror, and Donald Trump was on the other side.
So good.
And he interviewed himself, you see?
So good.
So Jimmy had a chance to be at the center of attention, which he rarely does. He doesn't really like to be the center of attention. But in this particular case, he pulled out his Trump impression to talk to Donald Trump in the mirror, in the dressing room, as if Donald Trump was interviewing himself. Do you get this? Am I explaining this sufficiently?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Here's a little clip.
Okay, interview time. Question one, are you ready for the Republican debate next week?
You know, the truth is, I'm always ready. It's really going to be a big debate, but I'm always ready.
It's not just big, it's huge! Huge, 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 huge.
Where does he get his audience from, and where can I find them?
Why are they applauding that?
Because that's the catchphrase, Kevin!
Wow! What are those people?
He said huge!
Holy crap,
who are those people? He said that word!
What the?
What kind of drugs are they on?
That's insane.
And Jimmy Fallon sounds like a truck driver, like a bad Jersey truck driver voice.
It's not just big, it's huge!
Huge, 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 huge!
Then he did the huge chant. That was so great.
What's happening?
I don't know.
I don't either. And you want to be in show business? Of course you do. It's lovely. Show business is a lovely place to be. Well, then all you have to do is be the son of a star.
Okay.
Scream Queens, the new comedy horror series brought to you by the creator of Glee over on Fox, stars Emma Roberts, okay, check, daughter of
Julia.
No, Julia's niece, daughter of Eric Roberts. Oliver Hudson, Czech son of Goldie Hawn. And just added Patrick Schwarzenegger. Patrick Schwarzenegger joining the cast.
Who's he related to?
I'm not familiar.
It's a good question.
I think there's a maid somewhere in the Pacific Palisades he may be the scion of. No, of course, he is Arnold Schwarzenegger's son. To best of my knowledge, never acted before, I don't believe.
Oh, really?
So I'm sure he got it solely based on his talent.
Of course. Don't be ridiculous.
Why else? How else could that happen? Today's celebrity birthdays. Sam Neill, who Kevin now knows who he is. This is, if nothing else, this is a, just a, this is what, you have to look for small victories on the Kevin and Bean
this
show.
This is what it's set at?
The fact that we've got Kevin, after a few hours, to recognize a movie star.
I work more by pictures than I do.
Yes, you do.
Words, Ralph.
You like those books that you read. Lots of pictures, yes, they have pictures. And some of them you can color inside the lines. Sam Neill, 68 years old today. And actor Andrew Lincoln. Lincoln. I've been thinking. What the heck have you been drinking?
Come on.
He is 42 years old.
Right to
today.
Hell.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show as beat.
Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network in studio. And then K-Rock legend Danny Elfman just after 9 o'clock telling us about some great plans that you might want to enjoy for Halloween. First, I don't know if you're paying attention last Thursday night when there was a high-speed chase, guy carjacked a car, ran into a restaurant. It's a very serious story with a really bizarre ending. Here it is.
Get back! Get back!
That loud flashbang that signaled a dangerous hostage situation was finally coming to a conclusion. Now, we told you for the first time during that newscast a description from the sheriff's department of an armed man who let some hostages go and kept others inside Chris and Pitt's restaurant here on Lakewood Boulevard in Downey. He suddenly had patrons and employees in his crosshairs, including a cook who came face to face with him in that restaurant's kitchen.
He came in there. And he said, get down. He grabbed one of our employees because she looked at him. Well, what's crazy is we're right there using knives. So he kind of, put the knives down.
Immediately after the pursuit, look at this. He ran into the restaurant firing shots into the air. It was the L.A. County Sheriff's Department that stormed Chris and Pitts. And then an officer-involved shooting occurred. The suspect fatally shot.
All right, so the dude is killed. The restaurant is surrounded by cops.
Yeah.
And I got a tweet from somebody saying you have to check out the Yelp reviews.
Huh?
The Yelp reviews. Do you ever use Yelp?
Never.
I don't either. But apparently if you want to know how a restaurant is, you can go to Yelp and they have reviews. And the first one that went up like within a half hour of the shooting was, excuse me, waiter, but there's a gunman in my soup. This is a Yelp review. Like, who uses Yelp for stand-up? In all seriousness.
Working on some stuff.
And then he finishes it off. In all seriousness, though, really good ribs. Highly recommended. So then I sort of kept an eye on it, and it just continued. Here's another Yelp review for this restaurant. Was here in my usual Thursday night dinner. I was quite surprised to be welcomed by a carjacker. I ran out. I was scared. Food was great, but ambience is a bit rushed. What's happening with these people? I've never seen this before. Real hometown feel, the next one says. Located in a safe, crime-free area. I suggest going for the Thursday night dinner show. Similar to medieval times, but instead of jousting, there's an authentic feeling police standoff scene where officers, quote, take over the streets and a team of characters dressed as patrons and employees, quote, run for the...
Oh, my God. So these people are watching the breaking news thinking, I've got to go and make a fake Yelp review.
I think so.
It's amazing.
I mean, it's hard to tell if they were actually there. I doubt anyone that was there did it. But here's another one. The food is good, but the show at dinner is really top-notch. These are all Yelp reviews that people now read. They have a gunman storming the restaurant and police surround the area. The gunman screams and yells at you while you grind your teeth through those delicious ribs. The police are speaking through the loudspeakers. The sound of helicopters flying above us. A-plus show. Hollywood film caliber.
this is horrible.
It's horrible, right? Here's another one, another Yelp review. Perfect place to beat the heat. Be sure to come strapped with hunger because the food is to die for. If you don't have a car, borrow one or even two. Thursday nights are wild, especially during football season. I think I saw only one shady guy, but I think he took his food to go because there were a lot of police here. And they just go on and on. Oh, yo, I was eating here, just me enjoying my damn baby back ribs when this dude just runs in with a gun. I want to talk to the manager. These are just insane. Went there on Thursday night, September 10th, and they had an entertainment showcase. It was awesome. The skit was three hoodlums in a police car chase. They wreck their car, and then they come in and they hold everyone hostage. Oh, man, what a great time. But here's my favorite. This is a final Yelp review from last Thursday night at a restaurant where a guy died.
Yeah.
Was just eating my ribs, and then some crazy vato ran in with a gun. Damn, can't a brother eat some ribs? Hopefully they hooked the food up for free. Then they killed him. Okay, so now he's okay. Now he's going back to the killing, yeah. And then he ends it with, man, the ribs were good. So it's some good work being done on Yelp. It's way more information on you than I'm familiar
Listen,
with.
Hey, I want to know Andrew. His bathroom situation hey, all day at doing the Red Zone. I want to know.
Andrew Siciliano is in the studio with us.
Good morning, guys.
Host of Around the NFL on the NFL Network, Monday to Friday at 3, and then the Red Zone channel all day on Sundays. And that's where we got into bathroom talk.
Yes.
So you get there.
And we don't mean pillow talk. We mean bathroom talk.
Right.
Yes.
So you get there what time of the morning?
Well, we're on at 10. I like to be prepared. I get there at 7.
Okay.
Watch my pregame shows, Rich Eisen, NFL Network, that kind of stuff, and sit down and, you know, kind of soak it all in for the day.
Then you start the broadcast. You do that from 10 till...
The games end. So the games before the NBC game. So usually 4:45.
4:45.
Yeah, 7 hours, mostly, roughly.
You do such a great job with that.
You're very kind.
You were just complaining about the USA Today. What's your complaint there?
You know what? I don't like to rip other journalistic endeavors. Yeah, I just find it interesting that above the mast, as we say, so the very top of USA Today is a picture of Johnny Manziel, and the headline, Manziel comes up short in Brown's loss. And then the very first story on the front of the sports page inside, Section C, is Manziel fumbles chance. It's a legitimate story. I just wonder, of all the stories yesterday, how Johnny Manziel deserves both the front page and the top story on the sports page, because he's not that significant in the grand scheme of things.
I'd say 5-6 down on
yes,
top
five,
stories.
Yes, 5-6 down. At least.
But then you have to factor in how much people hate the Browns.
Well,
so then
see,
that
I don't
are right back up.
See, here's the interesting thing. I think people hate the Browns uniforms. Mm-hmm. People don't hate the Browns. Like, when you tell people that you're a Browns fan, they feel sorry for
yeah,
you.
It's right.
They don't
thing.
Hate
oh,
you. There's
so
a difference. Yeah. There is a pity factor there.
Yeah. I say I love the Patriots. They
people
hate
you.
Yeah, they
yeah.
do hate
yes.
you, and
yeah.
rightfully so.
Yes. Rightfully so.
Yeah.
Yes, you, not the Patriots.
Oh,
I kid,
true.
Of course.
All right,
yes.
Andrew, what was the biggest story over the weekend?
If you
had to pick a story, what was
okay,
the biggest?
Okay, so today is about overreaction.
Okay.
The Monday after Sunday is always, you know, overreaction. But the Monday, the first Monday, it's all about overreaction. I would say the biggest story was that Marcus Mariota,
wow,
the number two pick in the draft, outplayed the number one pick in the draft, Jameis Winston, in the first ever week one head-to-head between two quarterbacks taken 1 and 2 overall. And he didn't just outplay him. Mariota, they're ready, overreaction, to put him in the Hall of Fame after one game.
Yes.
And Winston, overreaction, they're ready to call him a fat, slow-footed bum.
Well, his first pass
was a pick six.
Was a pick six.
It went the other way.
It wasn't great for him.
No, it was bad, actually. It was very poor.
Do you see this a lot, though, where people just, it's over?
Are you kidding? That's all we do is overreact. The Seahawks are done.
Yeah.
The Rams are going to the Super Bowl. The Lions still are choking dogs. They can't, well, actually, that might be. No, they still can't road. Everyone will overreact. It's all we do.
How funny was Seattle, though? Let's describe it for people. 8-9 months ago, whenever the Super Bowl mm-hmm. was, the last play of the game, they threw the ball, it got intercepted, they should have run it. That's what everybody's been
That's
talking
about. That's
what
everyone
about. Said. So now they're in overtime.
And they have 4th and 1.
4th and 1. And what do?
They ran the ball.
They ran the ball. They handed it to Marshawn Lynch. Stupid slant route, right?
Slant. Slant was open. Take the slant and go.
I could not have been happier to see that just because it was just like full circle. Like maybe that's an end to the actual story.
So there's so many layers to that game. I'll pick one that maybe isn't getting a lot of attention, and that is the social media aspect here.
Okay.
So Russell Wilson is a very positive, forward-thinking individual, right?
Yes, he is.
He has and I'm not making this up, a mental coach. He has a coach that only deals with visualization and positive thinking and all these things. The guy works with Nick Saban as well, although no one has ever accused him of being positive. That's Russell Wilson's guy.
Does he have a Twitter coach as well?
He does not have a Twitter coach. Maybe he needs one.
All right.
Russell Wilson put out a tweet Saturday upon landing in St. Louis, 1-0, hashtag Go Hawks. Now, he always says Go Hawks. He would be at a funeral giving a eulogy and tag it with Go Hawks. Okay? But he says 1-0. That got around the Rams building. I know that it did.
Having said that, wouldn't you have still put your money on Seattle big time?
No, not
what?
At all.
Really?
The Rams beat them there last year, beat them there 3 years ago. The Rams have the best defensive line in the NFL, and the Seahawks' offensive line is a mess. Cam Chancellor, and I called that one. Now, okay. I'm biased. I also do the preseason games for the Rams, so maybe maybe I have rose-colored glasses here. But I can tell you that the Rams didn't like the tweet. The Rams then, after the game, their official Twitter account took Russell Wilson's tweet from a day before, retweeted it, and wrote, "Russell, don't delete this." there's video.
That's pretty strong, by
yes,
the way.
There are there's video of Rams players walking off the field saying hashtag 1-0. Tweet that.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah. So,
did you see what Akeem tweeted?
Akeem Ayers, yes. So there's the Patriot angle here. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The Patriot angle. Akeem Ayers, the guy who stopped Marshawn Lynch on the play before the interception of the Super Bowl last year, is now a member of the Rams. And what did he do?
He said, "I beat them on the last game of last year as well as the first game of this year."
I think he actually, I got to look this up, he sent to Russell Wilson a picture of him making,
he said Twitter fingers. To him.
Right. Twitter fingers to Russell.
And then a guy said, "Oh, well, at least he has rings." And Akeem sent back a picture of him flipping the guy off with his Patriot Super Bowl ring.
Yep.
He's like, "I've got rings too."
With his
so good.
Middle finger.
Yes.
Yeah.
Social media is awful. I love social media.
I love it because
everybody can misstep publicly. It used to be you had to go through somebody and they would go, "Oh, I'm your PR person." Maybe that's not a good statement to make.
There should
now
be,
he can just go right on and go 1-0.
There should be like a 5-step clearance for anything that goes on social media. Let me see.
That's pretty good.
That is ridiculous.
He's smiling and just flipping the
that
guy
is a
off
giant middle
ring.
Finger with a Patriots ring on it.
It's
wow.
Yeah.
That is like the entire Patriots pregame show from last Thursday in one picture.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, we're glad football is back. We're glad you're back, Andrew. It's Around the NFL is on the NFL Network Monday to Friday at 3 p.m. We'll take a break. We'll come right back with Andrew Siciliano on camera. Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network is here. We have a lot to cover. Let's start with last night's game between the Cowboys and the Giants.
Oh, that was a fun one.
What went wrong there with the Giants?
What went wrong? Well, so who am I to criticize a guy that's won two Super Bowls in Eli Manning?
Agreed, but I think we can all criticize what happened.
He cost them 40 seconds at the end, and that was exactly 40 seconds, because that's how much clock would have run down. The Cowboys are out of timeouts, and Eli on third down, when the Giants chose to throw rather than run because they had no luck running.
Right.
Eli Manning threw the ball away.
Now, he didn't want to do that because it stops the clock, right?
It stops the clock. He could have simply taken the sack, which doesn't feel good. And I'm not saying he didn't want to get hit. He threw the ball away, which is what your instinct tells you to do in those situations, rather than take the sack. But he botched it, and it gave the Cowboys 40 extra seconds. So instead of getting the ball left with 1:34 and no timeouts, which is what happened, and Tony Romo marched him down the field and won the game, they would have had the ball with 49 seconds, roughly. And am I doing my math right?
Maybe they would have had enough, maybe not.
Instead of 1:29, rather, they would have had it with 49. And it's a totally different game.
I feel like there was more too many men on the field, too many. I feel there was a lot of that stuff.
There was a lot. There was a lot.
Is that
of that
a
yesterday normal
first weekend?
Well, you had, for example, the Saints had 10 guys on the field for a punt. Not good. Yeah.
Well, they were quitting because they were up against the mighty Cardinals.
Of course, obviously. How about the Cardinals? How about the Cardinals? I don't know if there was more of it. You often see stuff like that week one. Sure, I don't know if there was more of it. You saw a lot of bad injuries yesterday.
Yeah.
Terrell Suggs is out for the year. It's the same Achilles. That's a huge blow to the Ravens Super Bowl chances.
Achilles?
I think
it's
the same
one.
I could be wrong. You could be right.
I hope it's a different one.
Either way, it's his Achilles.
No, it's awful.
It's bad either way.
Yeah.
He's done for the year. T.Y. Hilton's going to be a couple of weeks. Dez Bryant, 6 weeks. We don't know about Derek Carr. Raider fans are holding their breath today. Derek Carr hit his hand while trying to stiff arm Adam. Don't call me Pac-Man Jones. And he's got some kind of something on his hand. And it's his throwing hand, too. That's a bad idea. Ooh. By the way, Raider fans today will not like this news that Adam Jones will not be suspended, we're told, for taking off Amari Cooper's helmet and then subsequently smashing his head into said helmet while he was laying on the ground.
Huh.
Smashing's a little too strong. Forcibly
moving.
It was
smashing. It wasn't hard smashing, but it was aggressive.
Yeah. It was aggressive.
Yeah. It was really aggressive.
Yeah. There was a level of aggression there, yeah.
And the ref was right there.
He will be fined. He should have been ejected, period. He should have been kicked out of the game. And then, by the way, if he had been kicked out of the game, he would not have been there like 30 seconds later for Derek Carr to stiff arm in the helmet. See how all this all the pieces kind of
it all
fall,
ties in.
Yeah, there into
place. How about those Bills?
How about those Bills?
Right?
I hate to say I told you so, but saw that one coming. Do not buy the Colts as a Super Bowl team.
Thank you. You are the only one.
Well,
all of ESPN,
just
all
just
of
dislike them as a Patriot fan.
Well, that's true.
Okay.
She also hates ESPN for that reason.
Do you?
Because she's a
I
Patriot
do.
Fan.
I think yeah. ESPN is so on Lux Jock. Just everything. he's so amazing. He's the best.
Well,
he's
he
win
is
it all.
Amazing, and he is the best. So let's get that out of the way
that's
first.
Crazy talk.
Second
that's
of all.
Crazy talk.
Second of all,
yes.
They did make it to the AFC Championship game last year, and were beaten fair and square by the Patriots.
Yeah.
No, they were. Fair
I know.
And square. Okay, there's no sarcasm from me.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. This is.
Yeah, oh, I know.
Oh, no.
Oh, I know.
I question things.
Yeah.
They're a very good
She's
team.
She's very angry.
And he has gone, he meaning Luck, has gone one step further every year in this playoff progression. Mm-hmm. And so it's logical to say that this team is going to the Super Bowl. I don't think they have a defense.
Mm-mm.
And their offensive line was shown yesterday to be a sieve. And they are an old team. They're the oldest team in the NFL when it comes to starting lineup. They have the oldest running back. In the oldest running back, not named Fred Jackson or D'Angelo Williams, and neither of them start. D'Angelo did only because of the suspension, and Frank Gore, who couldn't finish the game yesterday, and the oldest wide receiver, not named Steve Smith and Andre Johnson. They're an old team. To compare, I did a Rams-Colts game a couple of weeks ago. Chris Long, who was born here in Santa Monica 30 years ago, he was born in March, so March of 85. The Colts have 9 guys older than Chris Long, and Chris is the oldest guy on the Rams.
Wow.
Wow.
9 guys. They're an old team. Mm-hmm. They're a good team. They're a playoff team because that division isn't any good. But everyone says, hot seat Chuck Pagano.
Yeah.
To me, look at that roster. They're not as good as people think they are.
What do you think about that? Because Irsay came out and said, no, everything's fine. We're going to be all right. Do you think Pagano's
he's absolutely. He's well, no, he's not out.
Okay.
But there's that look, there's pressure on every coach.
Right.
Is there more on him than say on others? Yes, absolutely.
So you don't buy the Colts as a Super Bowl
I
team?
I don't. They're very good. Look, they could prove me. Andrew Luck is good enough to overcome any, not any maybe, but he is good enough to overcome the deficiencies on your team.
What about Peyton Manning? We were having this conversation off the air.
Yeah, I don't know that he can throw much anymore. He can throw better than me.
I was watching highlights. I didn't notice that it was particularly weak or anything.
Oh,
look, I don't want to make this I'm calling out Peyton Manning thing because I made some comments on the Around the NFL podcast on NFL.com yesterday, or rather Friday, that got picked up by the Sporting News and some other places where I said that everyone's saying his arm is dead. It's not me, guys. Just watch him.
Yeah.
There is an issue with arm strength, and there was an issue with arm strength last December. He pulled his quad in that game in San Diego, and he had no cord, no base. He couldn't drive the ball in the playoffs, and everyone saw it, but we chalked it up to the leg injury. I don't know that it's the leg injury anymore, and it's not me saying it. It's other people saying it, and there's also the whole thing with it's a different offense with Gary Kubiak, and they're still not on the same page. That they'll get there. We'll get to the point. We'll get to the point second half of the season where they're meshing and they're fine. The defense won that game yesterday, period. Peyton eventually had an 80-yard drive. It took 10 minutes for an 80-yard drive because they're dinking and dunking. But that is...
You think he's just hurt enough and old enough that he's not going to...
I don't know about hurt enough.
Okay.
It's just eventually... Baseball pitchers eventually get to the point where you can't throw 95 anymore, right?
Yeah.
He is 39 years old. If they get to the Super Bowl... And hypothetically, if they win the Super Bowl, he will be the oldest quarterback by almost a year to have ever won the Super Bowl. Elway was the oldest.
and Elway's now his boss.
Right.
But he would be the oldest.
Well, maybe he can't throw, but he can run.
No, he
so
can't.
He's got that going for him.
Yes.
Nope.
No.
Right? Nope.
No.
All right.
But let's say this. If they cut him tomorrow, which they're not.
Right.
Just making the absurd hypothetical. You'd still have half the teams in the league trying to sign him. So that he's still that good.
Right. But you're talking to people who are trying to judge him as far as can he make it to and win the Super Bowl.
I'll tell you this. If he's on your fantasy team, you're not going to have a good season.
Okay.
They will win plenty of games, but he ain't throwing for 450 and four touchdowns on a regular basis like he used to.
All right, let's talk tonight briefly. Eagles, Falcons, Vikings, 49ers.
Ralph's got his jersey on. And,
he does. And, he doesn't know what to expect.
Dave's got his hat on. How he's a Falcons fan still boggles my mind.
Don't let that go.
So if you take out the Dan Quinn is the new head coach of the Falcons, and they will play hard for him because it's the debut and they're at home and it's Monday night and all those good things, and Kyle Shanahan's an awesome offensive coordinator and they're going to run the ball, I think the Eagles can put up 40 here tonight. So. I think the Eagles win this game, and I am buying the Sam Bradford thing. If he stays healthy, I think he will light it up this year.
Vikings 49ers.
I think the 49ers have the possibility is there for a 4-12 season for the 49ers.
Oh, if they play their cards right, they can go 4-12.
I don't know that any team has lost more talent in one offseason in the last 20 years.
It's staggering.
Of football.
That's crazy.
There's no
one
left.
Why did it happen?
Well, I mean, Jim Harbaugh left, and then everyone retired. And even Michael Crabtree, and they retired for various reasons. But even Michael Crabtree, who is now a big part of the Raiders, Michael Crabtree said, the Niners offer the same or more money. I just wanted to leave.
Wow.
And he left, and he could keep his house and just go to the other side of the bay. They lost everybody. And Colin Kaepernick had a really bad preseason. Now, it's the preseason, but, yeah, I'm not feeling them at all.
All right. Andrew Siciliano has been our guest. He is the host of Around the NFL, Monday to Fridays at 3, and then he's the host of the Red Zone Channel, where you do a fantastic job.
You're very kind.
We're so happy the NFL is back. We're happy you're back. Thank you for coming in.
Love you guys.
6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53. Our old friend Danny Elfman will join us just after the top of the hour to tell you about your new Halloween plans.
Excellent.
Ralph is here now for a time look at the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
I'm here for a time look. Let's look at the time. It is Monday. That means we'd look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Number one this weekend, The Perfect Guy. Aw. Aren't they sweet? They made a movie about me? That's just crazy.
Is that about you?
Yeah. I don't know anything about the film, but I'm assuming from the title it must be. I'm
guessing it's not.
And its debut made $26.7 million. It's actually a thriller starring Morris Chestnut, Michael Ealy. One of them's The Perfect Guy. But not really.
$26 million is not... not a small amount. That's pretty good.
Not a bad opening for a soft box office weekend. The Visit also had a pretty good day, me $5.6 million.
Could you get in the oven so I could cook you, grandchild?
Love that movie. War Room, third, A Walk in the Woods, Mission Impossible, Rogue Nation were your top five movies at the box office. Then Straight Outta Compton, No Escape, The Transporter,
Refueled.
Was that is such a crappy movie.
You loved it.
Oh, my God.
90 Minutes in Heaven. And its debut was ninth with $2.2 million. And then Un Gallo con Muchos Huevos. The chicken with many eggs. Literally translated. I think they mean huevos grandes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well,
I think you do.
Yeah.
You're pointing.
I'm pointing to my huevos grandes.
Right. You can
say hello to my two big friends.
Okay.
All right.
Congratulations to Betty Cantrell. She is our new Miss America. That's right. She is our new leader. We have elected a new leader.
Wait, how is she our leader?
Betty Cantrell, because she's Miss America. She is
the
America of this country. She is the Miss of it.
Mm. Okay.
So she rules
okay.
the country. She was a former Miss Georgia, now Miss America. Congratulations. How did she win? What did Betty Cantrell have over the others? Well, I think she probably locked it up with the interview portion of the Miss America pageant. Finally, we get a definitive answer on whether Tom Brady cheated or not regarding Deflategate. I know you've all been waiting. What did Miss Georgia think about Deflategate? That's the input we've been waiting for. And so Miss Georgia, Betty Cantrell. Betty Cantrell, by the way, sounds like a Miss America from 1957.
That's true.
Her name sounds like a throwback to when people cared about this pageant. They asked her, inexplicably, during the interview portion, whether she thought Tom Brady cheated or not in Deflategate. And finally, now we have some clear-headed thinking from Miss Georgia, now Miss America, Betty Cantrell.
Legalities aside, did Tom Brady cheat?
Did he cheat? That's a really good question. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. I think I'd have to be there to see the ball mm-hmm. and feel it and make sure it was deflated or not deflated.
Right.
But if there was question there,
yes.
then yes, I think he cheated. If there was any question to be had, I think that he definitely cheated and that he should have been suspended for that. That's not fair.
Right.
Well, that's basically Goodell logic.
That is science.
Yeah.
She brought some science to the Miss America pageant.
If someone said he did it, I'd probably think he said it, and then he did, and then, oh, my God, give me the crowd.
You will show some respect for the office, miss.
I will not.
Show some.
Does
you may not
office?
Care about Betty Cantrell, but show some respect for the office.
Where's her office?
It's there at the Miss America headquarters.
Where's that?
It's right there, right next to the Miss Universe launch pad.
Sure.
Where they send Miss Universe into space because she has to rule the universe.
Of course.
Miss America has to rule
tell us.
Just America. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of responsibility. I think if there's any question.
My bad.
I think if there's any question, then he definitely cheated.
Yeah.
I like that leap in logic.
That's good logic.
If there's just. I wonder where my jury, I think, if I'm going. Well, if he's accused of murder, he definitely committed it.
Wasn't that question designed to trip her up, though? I mean, that's a ridiculous
They're all
question.
They all are. Any question is designed to trip up any of these women.
If you haven't seen John Oliver's from like a year ago, he goes through the questions, and one of them is like, how would you end ISIS? What? You're giving these women 20 seconds to answer something that none of us are able to answer. It's amazing.
I love it.
I could answer it.
Okay.
I'd pick the Donald Trump method.
Which is?
I'll just do it. You don't need a plan. Just have to announce you're doing it.
Say you're doing it with a lot of confidence.
That's right. Aging boy bands are not pretty. Bad things can happen. Mm-mm. Apparently there's a new movie for the Sci-Fi Channel being filmed called Dead 7 that stars many ex-members of NSYNC, Backstreet Boys, O-Town, and 98 Degrees. And so this sleepy little town of Butte, Montana, where they were filming, has been turned upside down because locals say the former teen stars are hitting all the bars in their neighborhood and bothering all the women.
Oh, no.
Yes.
There's nothing more sad than that.
There really isn't. A bunch of drunk, aging boy banders hitting on all the MILFs in town, just making a general nuisance of themselves. The biggest pest, according to locals, here's no surprise, NSYNC-er Joey Fatone, who, allegedly, according to this eyewitness, will sleep with anyone he can get his hands on. Another local said, these guys were my biggest crushes growing up, and they have turned out to be a bunch of jerks.
Imagine, you can't score with one of your biggest fans. That's crazy.
I'm sure Joey is scoring with his biggest fans. Those are the ones he's getting, I'm sure. And talking about former teen idols, David Cassidy, you may know the name. He, of course, was the leader of the Partridge Family, Keith Partridge, lead singer for the Partridge Family. And then he had a successful career on stage. He did a bunch of Broadway and stuff. He's fallen on hard times. He's in the middle of an ugly divorce, had declared bankruptcy, had to sell his mansion down there in Florida. I think he's living in one of Allie's spare car homes these days. So he went on, inexplicably, went on a British morning show called This Morning and let them interview him because he must have known they were going to ask him about his recent financial woes. Here's the thing. David also has been popped a few times for DUI. Mm-hmm. Glug, glug, glug.
Ooh.
He is reportedly sober. Reportedly and allegedly sober. From
right.
this interview, I would guess not so much. I know the telltale signs. I work with Kevin.
How dare you?
I'm going to play a couple clips here. They're asking him about his bankruptcy. He doesn't like that question. He's offended that they would bring up that question.
I'm not going to discuss that.
We're talking to you. You're in your.
Are you just here to rubbish me?
Are you just here to rubbish me?
That is so Kevin, right?
I understood exactly what he meant.
Exactly.
Definitely not trash him, but rubbish
him. Are you here to rubbish me? You put me on the rubbish can? Is that what you're gonna be doing to me now in this interview? Then they pursue this line of questioning. And he is stating he only filed for bankruptcy so he could reorganize his finances. Mm-hmm. That's the only reason. And
right.
They don't understand it. He must make them understand.
Well, it's a difficult journey when you're going through a divorce. Is it not for anyone?
Of course, and it's more difficult.
And it's a difficult
so
journey
publicly.
Wait. Don't interrupt me.
Oh, Dave. Come on, get happy. Glug, 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 glug. Wait. Don't interrupt me. Are you trying to rubbish me? I will not be rubbished by you or anybody else in that whole country of England. The rubbish country.
Give him the breathalyzer!
Yeah.
That's ugly.
I think we found a replacement for Kevin if he ever steps down.
How dare you.
Just bring in Dave. Today's celebrity birthdays. Our own Beer Mug celebrates his birthday today.
Yay.
So if you see Beer Mug, remember, birthday punches. Like 32 of them.
He likes more than that, though.
Yeah.
He's
like, well,
he's 64.
He's a tough guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah!
All right, Mug.
That's hot!
Andrew Lincoln of The Walking Dead fame, 42 years old today. He's British, by the way.
Yeah.
He's not even American.
Right?
He speaks so good American.
He does.
He speaks all that good American, and he's not even. He has the common sense to follow Sarah Palin's advice, which is if you're in this country, speak American.
Yeah.
She said famously last week.
Boy.
Sam Neill, another Ferner, takes all our jobs. He's an Australian actor. Of course, you know him from Jurassic Park. And Kevin knows him from nothing. 68 years old today. I'm not here to rubbish you, Kevin. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. It's a dead man's party. I love little girls. They make me feel so good. Won't you stay with me one more day? You really can't blame him.
Come with us and you will see.
The great Danny Elfman joins us in studio. Hey, Danny, welcome back.
Hello.
What's it like for you to hear your voice? Do you like it?
That was really weird.
Hate it. Some people love it.
It's a dead man's. Bah, 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 bomb. Oh, right. That's interesting. No, I will never get used to my own voice.
I remember.
I've been trying for how many years?
Yeah.
127 years.
It's been
now.
Not quite that long, but.
No, it's been that, actually. Yeah.
Wow, well, you look great then.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Allie, tell us.
Look
tell
a day
us
over 110.
Nope.
Tell us your story about when you were a kid, please.
Maybe. When I was younger, I told my parents I was sleeping at Liz Rosenthal's house. She told her parents she was sleeping at mine. And we snuck up to Santa Barbara to see a band called Oingo Boingo. And then we got found out, and I was grounded for a month.
Ouch.
And I would do it again.
Worth it.
It felt
so
good.
Worth it.
It was so worth it.
Now, Danny, wow. You've been doing soundtracks for a long time.
30 years.
Wow. How did the first one start? It was Tim Burton, right?
Yeah, Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Pee-wee. It was just a call out of the blue. I mean, literally. It was just kind of like, oh, got a call. Meet with this young animator you've never heard of named Tim Burton. And I assumed it was about a song. Because at that time,
oh, like they
Boingo
wanted
Boingo
to use
a
Boingo
song.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was like, no, not quite. Interested in you doing the score. And I, when I met, I said, why me? Literally.
I would think your initial reaction would also be, no, I don't do that.
It was.
Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
No, I don't do that. Why me?
Uh-huh.
And he's like, I just think that, you know, you could kind of do something like that. And that was it.
So you
Well, I went home and I did a demo and I put it on a, you know, on my little four track. I think I don't know if I had a four or an eight track machine and sent a cassette over.
Wow.
And about a week and a half, 2 weeks later, I got a note saying I got hired.
Wow.
And I was like, my first reaction was like, no, I'm not going
to
do this.
When you were first sitting down to do it, was it just like, I don't even know where to start or how to do it?
Yeah, but it was a mixture of, I don't know where to start, I don't know how to do it, and who cares? So that
good,
helped a lot.
Healthy dose of who cares.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not quite worded like that.
Sure, of course.
But the point being is like, all right, you know, if they want to take a chance, I'll screw up their film probably, but what the hell?
And I read that at that point you thought, okay, this is just a fluke. Yeah, it worked out awesome.
Yeah, it was just a fluke. I didn't expect the score would even get heard. I thought it was going to get tossed. I thought the minute Warner Brothers heard the score, they were going to toss it and hire a real composer.
Wow.
Did you almost not send it?
Just
because of nerves or whatever?
Well, no. I mean, there was a point with nerves when I got hired where I said to my manager, I said, nah, tell him I can't do it. And he said, no, you tell him.
Really?
I've been working on this deal for like 2 weeks. And I looked at the phone. I thought about it a little bit. And then it was just, I didn't have the nerve to pick up the phone and go, nah, I was just kidding.
So you didn't have the nerve to back out is why you're in this career.
Exactly.
Nice.
I didn't have the guts to say no.
Let it be a lesson, kids.
Exactly. You have a great opportunity comes to your door. Something
Take
that
it.
Could change your life for the better. Have the guts to say no. 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 Say no thank you. Be polite.
Exactly, delightful. Yes. Now, how many scores have you done? How many movies have you worked on?
Well, under 100, somewhere between 90 and 100, I think.
Wow.
At that point, you just go, that's a lot.
Yeah, a bunch.
I don't really need to count. Tell me about, because I remember interviewing you before when you were starting this process of doing the Tim Burton,
yeah,
the live
right.
performances. And even then, you were like, I don't even know if this is a thing.
Well, at that point, I mean, we'd put together the show. I'd spent months and months putting it all together. I had no idea if it was going to work on any level. So going into that first show in London with the Elfman Burton review, it was like, this could be catastrophic. And
did you have trouble sleeping the week before?
Yeah,
or whatever?
Yeah, I did. I was just I was having, you know, visions of getting paraded through the streets of London, you know, tarred and feathered and maybe hung in Trafalgar Square. So it was kind of like, we'd never done it. There was no chance to rehearse it. There was no chance to take it out of town. Literally, it was to show up, two rehearsals, do the show. And
that's the worst way possible to do something.
And
yeah,
where
it's
in
like
London,
it would be like Broadway without the out of town.
Right.
You know, it's like you want to like start somewhere smaller than Royal Albert Hall.
Yeah, Royal Albert Hall. So, it's not like you were just down the
yeah,
street.
So it'd
at
be
a
like
pub.
Taking a Broadway show that no one had ever heard, that you had no clue people were going to love or hate, and opening it at Radio City Music Hall. It would be like that. And so to say it was terrifying, you know, was an understatement. But it went well, and now here we are.
Did it go well because you had such low expectations, or was it really – did you really feel like, wow, I got something here?
No, it really was – I had never even performed in London, so I didn't feel like people even knew really who I was. And they were so with the show, and when I came out – terrified because I hadn't sung in 18 years, so I could barely open my mouth. And they were so warm and appreciative that I remembered what it was like to kind of let myself fall off the wire and realize that, you know, there's a great safety net. You know, there's about thousands of them, and they're all there really uh-huh. just to make it easier. And then I was, there was a point.
You felt like they were actually rooting for you to do
yeah,
well, right?
Well, before I walked on, there was a point where it was like, I can't walk through that door and do this. I just can't do it. And I was helped by Helena Bonham Carter because she was like sitting on the floor all kind of loose and raggedy because she was going to sing Sally that night.
Okay.
And she just looked at me and said, Danny, what's going on? I said, I don't know if I can do this. I mean, that's like, I really don't know if I can do this. And she said, Danny, just blank it.
Okay. Just blank it.
Right.
All right. And she said right.
And I thought about it, and I said, yeah, what am I talking about? That's the story of my life is blank it. And I said, why would this be any different? And so that's...
So you went out and you just...
Went
out
and did it.
And
I had a great time. And we didn't change anything in the show. It's exactly what played here in Los Angeles afterwards. And
how many times have you done it?
I've done it 30 times around the world now. And the show has played 60 times because I only do select certain shows. It plays, there's a version with me and a version without me. So I think it's got about almost 60 plays around the world, and I've been on 29, 30 of them. And but then there was this other idea.
Yes.
About a year ago, I was sitting in Tokyo with the promoter of the Elfman Burton show. And I'm thinking, how do I get myself back to Tokyo? Because, you know, you can't come to, except for London and L.A., but you can't take the show 2 years in a row. These orchestral classical musical things tend to run in a couple of year cycles, 2-3 years. And I've got, I need to get back to Tokyo. And I just kind of threw out this idea to him. Hey, what about this? You guys love the movie Nightmare Before Christmas here in Tokyo. What if we just, like, did the whole thing live to picture, top to bottom, in sync with the whole movie? And it was just totally off the top of my head. And he was like, all right. And then 6 months later, I get the call from Laura, who's waiting in the next room there.
Saying they want to do it?
You got that show.
If only like, you could do some run throughs
my answer,
here.
My answer is, what show?
No. You didn't even remember pitching it?
No. She said, four singers, right? I go, no. Did I say four singers? She said, yeah, you said four singers. Because I said I knew we needed to bring singers out to sing in English and do the songs. I said, four of us and me, we could do them all. We could do the whole thing. And I said, didn't I say six? She said, no, you said four. I said, are you sure I didn't say five? I said, no, you said four. And because when I did it for real for Nightmare Before Christmas, there were only about, five, six of us doing all the voices. You know, we just got around mic. We switched up parts. We would just do multiple passes and improvised. Everything was improvised. It was really crazy. So,
you know, do the same thing.
You make bad decisions, but you happen to have a lot of talent. So it actually works out in your favor.
Well, that was just fun. At that point, that was just like a talented little group, and we just had fun. It's like, okay, like, I'm Vampire 1, you're Vampire 2, you're Vampire 3. Okay, then we do another pass. You're the thing under the stairs, I'm the clown without a face. Okay, here, let's go.
Right, but I'm saying that's how we do things, and we have a janky show. You actually...
You're Danny Elfman.
You're Danny Elfman. You don't just throw stuff together. That's absurd.
That was thrown together. There was no... The songs didn't have any written parts for anything other than lyrics. And it's like, I'll make up all the parts of the song.
All right, we're going to take a break. But before we go, I want you to announce what's happening. People in Southern California have
at the end of that show in Tokyo, Laura says, don't you think we should take it to Los Angeles?
Yes, Laura.
And I said, well, yeah, that would be really nice. Do I say it?
Yeah.
Okay. So we are taking the Nightmare Before Christmas full show review to the Hollywood Bowl this Halloween.
How about that? So everybody in Southern California spent a lot of their childhood with Danny Elfman and Boingo?
Yep. I'll be there.
Halloween night.
There'll be a little crew, little talented crew, singers, and we're going to do the whole thing live to picture, every song live. And I was told when we did that in Tokyo, it was the first time it's ever been done. It's really hard, but it was fun. It was really fun. So we're going to do it again.
And tickets go on sale this Friday at noon.
You seem to have forgotten the 85-piece orchestra.
Oh, 85-piece as well.
Oh, yeah. I meant live to picture because we've been talking about the Elfman Burton show.
Right.
So it'll be the same kind of thing. There'll be like a 85-piece orchestra. There'll be a choir. We'll have like
the whole production.
The whole production. So in other words, all the music you hear singing or played will all be live.
That's fantastic. Wow. Tickets go on sale Friday at noon. We will take a quick break and come back with Danny Elfman. Danny Elfman in the studio with us, just making the announcement of Danny Elfman Halloween at the Hollywood Bowl. Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas. It's Danny singing Jack's part, of course.
And, yes, that's right.
And an 87-piece orchestra.
Correct.
And you're doing it in real time to the movie?
In real time to the movie. We'll be doing it in sync with the film, yeah.
Do you find yourself getting out of sync with the movie? Is that, at times, do you go, hey, we're a little behind?
I mean, we've only done this twice ever, and two nights, and we stayed pretty close, you know. So, yeah, it's not a... You know, the conductor, John Malciari, is like really working his butt off. So he's following a very sophisticated series of click streamers. They call them streamers, monitor.
So that's on him.
Yeah. So in other words, occasionally I see him, he's trying to slow them down a little bit, trying to speed them up a little bit, trying to slow them down a little bit. So he's trying to keep all of them in sync. And it's really a tough job to play.
I pictured you watching the movie and then just trying to keep up with Jack, but you don't have to do any of that.
It's like I do, but the conductor has really got that job of keeping the orchestra in sync. So if the orchestra is in sync, it's going to be easy for me.
That's fine, yeah.
And he's making quite the return, right? He was the founding conductor.
Yeah, he was the 10, 12, maybe longer, 10, 15 years, the head of the Hollywood Bowl Orchestra. He did that for many years, so it's kind of a return. to his home, his original home. When I first knew of him, that's what he was doing.
And you have quite the relationship with Jack Skellington. You kind of, when it all started, you found a special bond with him, right?
Yeah, I definitely bonded with Jack. So when Tim came with me, we didn't know how to start a musical. Neither of us had ever done a musical. So it was kind of like, how do we start? We don't know. And then there was a certain point where, well, there's no script. And Henry Selick is already set up in San Francisco and ready to start animating. What do we do? Let's start working on songs. Okay. And so he would literally just bring me drawings of all the characters and tell me a little bit of story. And I was going, okay, I got it. And I'd go and write a song. And then, you know, he'd come back 3 days later. I'd play him a demo that I wrote in my studio. And then he'd say, okay, now it's like this. Jack is wandering in a forest and he sees a door and he gets sucked down one of these doors and he comes out and he's seeing Christmas Town for the first time. Everything's new. And so he's describing it, and as he's describing it, and he's showing me pictures, I'm going, oh, yeah, what's this? And it's like, okay, I got it. I kick him out.
Do you have that relationship with anybody else on this planet?
Well, no. And this was about as easy as anything had gone down with us. We were just like, boom, 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 boom. Every song, you know, we spent about 3 days on each song, which is really fast for me, you know. I spent 3 years. But it just went real easy. He would tell me the story. I would hear it in my head, and I'd go and do it really quick. So by the end of that, now I had 10 songs all of a sudden. It's like, okay, now we went into the studio. He produced. I sang. I did all the parts, like all the character parts, all the choir parts, except for Sally. It was the one thing I couldn't do. So there are these demos somewhere with me doing all the voices for Sally.
And you're going to be doing that at the Hollywood Bowl, I believe.
All the voices, yes.
All of the voices.
At the same time, including Sally.
Including Sally.
And we did that, and then there was that uncomfortable moment of, who's going to sing this role, Tim? I kind of think, and he goes, oh, yeah, you should be singing Jack. So I was like, okay. Because I was getting very attached to the role of Jack Skellington.
And you didn't at that point know that you were going to be singing it?
No,
yet.
No. I wrote them, not sure, you know, how.
Did you write them sort of like you would write other songs for yourself?
No, I mean, I didn't write them at all. Like I was used to just writing about things that you know, like just out of the blue. And I'd kind of, sometimes it would take kind of a while to figure out what am I want to write about. But here I knew what I was writing about. So it was much quicker than what I was used to. And simpler, because it was like, oh, there's a story, and I'm telling a story. But in doing it, I got very attached to Jack. And it was right about at the time when I was kind of nearing the end of my Oingo Boingo period. And I kind of felt a special kinship because, you know, I loved being in Oingo Boingo and the whole relationship with the fans. But I was also really ready to move on. So I felt a lot like Jack. So when I was writing Jack's character, kind of looking for another land to exist in, I was also writing from my own sense of how I was feeling. So
Halloween Town was Oingo Boingo.
Yeah, Halloween Town was Oingo Boingo. And so I really felt a kinship with him. You know, this very excitable, nervous, excitable character means well, but creates a lot of chaos and havoc around them. It's the story of my life.
Well, we're very excited about this. It is Danny Elfman, Halloween at the Hollywood Bowl, Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas. The tickets go on sale Friday, but we do have a K-Rock pre-sale, which is tomorrow at 10 a.m. Tomorrow at 10 a.m. through Thursday at 10 p.m., there's a K-Rock pre-sale. You just have to use the password K-Rock Nightmare, and you can get these tickets ahead of time before they go on Ticketmaster for everybody else.
Excellent.
It's going to be a great night. You're going to have a costume contest there, all kinds of trick-or-treating stations set up and everything.
Yeah, for little kids, if you have little kids and you're worried about that, we're going to try to set up some little chance for them to get out there and get some little trick-or-treating done right there at the Hollywood Bowl.
What kind of response do you get from different age people to this particular movie?
Well, the biggest surprise for me in Nightmare Before Christmas, there are two huge surprises. One is that kids really seem to get into it, because when it came out, it was understood before it actually opened that it's not for, right. I did a press junket in Florida, Disney World, and I was asked by every journalist the same question. So it's not for kids, right? And I'm going, well, I don't know. It's too scary for kids, right? And I'd go, are your kids scared of Halloween? And they'd go, no, of course not. I go, well, then I don't know what they'd be scared
of.
That's
weird. It took on a whole life of itself of being not good
for kids. It took a life of itself, and that was the other big surprise, because I think that threw Disney. They didn't know what it was. And they did one preview, and it was like, kids hate this movie. But
that's great.
It was an unfinished movie with pencil drawings. It was not something that kids could easily understand what it is. And so it formed its own life, and that was the other big surprise. One is that not only did kids like it, but two, that it would form a second life on its own over the next 15 years. And it wasn't until I was in Japan with Tim for Charlie and the Chocolate Factory and looking around and seeing there was Jack Skellington stuff everywhere. And it's like, that's weird. He was going, I've never seen this stuff before. and we realized that it was kind of growing on its own. And that's really rare for a movie. For any movie to get a second life is so, so rare. And that movie took years of work. So I was so sad, you know, when it opened kind of small. They pulled a lot of their publicity. They didn't really promote it. They didn't know what it was. But
that seems to be the problem with if they can't easily understand what it is, it seems mm-hmm. like it's hard to push. So everybody just starts backing off.
Well, they back off, but they didn't know what it was. But to their credit at Disney, they realized that there's actually this cult thing growing, and they started re-releasing it. They really did figure it out and pick up on it and helped it grow. So I thought that was also very rare, by the way, for any studio to recognize that. I think it's understandable. When it came out, there was nothing like it.
Right.
Yeah.
An animated movie was Little Mermaid. Mm-hmm. It was Aladdin. It wasn't Nightmare Before Christmas. So understandably, it was really confusing. What is this? Who is it for? And then there's this marketing thing that said, kids hate it. You know, some kind of, you know, from a preview. They do a preview and they go, oh, well, kids hate it. Who is it for exactly? And then after a number of years, they started to really get it. I said, okay, first off, all of our kids really love this
right.
thing. And it seems to be growing. So they really are instrumental in the rebirth of Nightmare Before Christmas, and I'm really grateful for that.
Well, this is going to be a great show. We're very excited about this. It's Halloween night, Saturday night at 8:15 at the Hollywood Bowl. And we have 5 pair of tickets right now if we want to give them away. 1-800-520-1067. If you would like to be the first people to have tickets to go see this, you can call right now and we'll take the first 5 callers. It's Danny Elfman, Halloween at the Hollywood Bowl, Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas. You're going to do the entire thing to the movie at the Hollywood Bowl.
We shall.
K-Rock presale is tomorrow, Tuesday at 10 a.m. through Thursday at 10 p.m. at Ticketmaster.com. And the password is K-Rock Nightmare. Danny, we love – you've always been kind to K-Rock. We've always loved you for your time, your effort, and thanks for coming.
Oh, no, the pleasure is all mine, and I appreciate you are the ones that have always been behind me. So I'll just take what you said and reverse it. You know.
Thank you, Danny.
I wouldn't have had a career in the first place if it wasn't for K-Rock.
Well, take it easy. All right. Okay. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:43. Ralph Garman is here for our final look at the Showbiz Beat today.
It is a Monday morning, so we look at the top 10 movies at the box office to see what people went to see. Over the weekend, The Perfect Guy was the big winner. $26.7 million made it number one, followed by The Visit. In its debut, made $25.6 million. War Room was third. Walk in the Woods was fourth. Mission Impossible Rogue Nation turned in a respectable $4.2 million to make it number five at the box office. Then Straight Outta Compton, No Escape, The Transporter refueled, 90 Minutes in Heaven, and Un Gallo Con Muchos Huevos routed out the top 10 at the box office. Well, they said it couldn't be done, but they did it. Somehow, NBC and Mark Burnett made me curious to watch Celebrity Apprentice again.
Really?
They just announced this morning their new host. Donald Trump, of course, famously fired from that show because he's busy getting ready to run the world.
Ariana Grande
did not make the short list of potential hosts. Any other guesses?
Farrah Abramson.
No, Farrah Abramson did not make it as well.
Well, it's strange because it has to be sort of the businessman mixed with a...
You would think.
Right, so Farrah Abramson would be a good guess.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
He would be a great get if NBC could nail him down.
I'm guessing they probably can't.
Talk about Magic.
He's busy.
Magic Johnson?
Magic did not make it, no.
Oh.
I'm out.
Yeah, I am too.
How about a...
Piers Morgan.
No. Okay. But you're out.
I was.
Are you out or are you in?
Now I'm out.
Are you sure?
No,
because last time you were out and then you jumped in with another name.
If I think of something, I'll say it.
Oh, I'm sure
That's
you
how
will.
I work.
Yep. And poorly, I'm sure.
Kevin James.
Think politician. Slash businessman slash
Romney.
Celebrity. Mitt Romney.
No.
No, no.
Oh. Well played, Ralph.
Your head's going to explode when you hear Mitt.
Awesome. Okay, so.
Celebrity.
Okay.
Actor.
Actor.
Politician.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Businessman. Arnold Schwarzenegger is the new host of The Celebrity Apprentice.
I'm in.
I've always been a huge fan of Celebrity Apprentice and the way it showcases the challenges and triumphs of business and teamwork, said Arnold in today's news. I am thrilled to bring my experience to the boardroom and to continue to raise millions for charity. Let's get started, he said, apparently not knowing that the show is not returning until 2016. He will be the host of the 2016-2017 season of Celebrity Apprentice once.
Are you punking
us? Returns. I'm not punking you. This is brand new news. It was just announced this morning. My favorite part is the NBC official announcement. Arnold Schwarzenegger is the epitome of a global brand in entertainment and business. His accomplishments in the political arena speak for themselves. Yes, they do.
Jeez.
It was Arnold's personal passion for the format that Mark Burnett and Donald Trump built over the last decade, as well as his fresh take on how to take it to new heights for today's audiences, that made him the man to hire. And wait for it, The Celebrity Apprentice will be back. See what they did there?
Yeah.
They took a popular line from an Arnold Schwarzenegger film, and then they folded it into their press release this morning for The Celebrity Apprentice.
He's going to do that in every episode, isn't he?
I'm guessing.
Go to commercial, I hope.
I'm guessing instead of telling which contestant will be fired at the end of each episode, he'll look at the other contestants and say, you'll be back.
Awesome.
I'm sure he'll say that.
I'm looking forward to this now.
Either that or he'll say to them, get your ass to Mars, which will make no sense to anyone. Will confuse everyone. But those are my two guesses at
the
catchphrase.
Do the other line.
Give me your clothes. Maybe he'll say that, and then they all have to strip down naked and hand over their motorcycle jackets and boots. Come with me if you want to live. And then somebody gets murdered in the Apprentice boardroom. That would get ratings if Z-list celebrities were murdered.
We're still talking about The Celebrity Apprentice, right?
Yes, we are. Because I don't know if you heard or not, Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to be the host.
What? Shut up, Allie. Come on. I could have got another minute without you.
Just looking at you.
I hate you so much.
Looking at you. That's all.
God.
Speaking of reality TV shows, Jessica Simpson. Remember where we first fell in love with her?
Yes.
A little show called Newlyweds, Nick and Jessica.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be surprised, but she said she has never watched the show since it aired.
Has anyone?
No. But she could have if she wanted to. She famously said, I do in front of the MTV cameras, and this is before her second husband, Eric Johnson. She ever met him. She said she couldn't imagine watching the show now because of a panic attack. Now you know how we felt watching it the first time, Jessica. She should be forced to watch it. Watch her say, chicken of the sea? Are this made from real chickens from underwater?
She was the best.
Remember when she thought buffaloes had wings? Why do they call them buffalo wings? I didn't know buffalo had wings. She was the epitome of stupid. Why couldn't they make her the host for Celebrity Apprentice? Every week she could say, what show am I on? What is this? Just be dumb. I love dumb. Good news, casting news. Olivia Cooke, we love her. She, of course, from Bates Motel. And she was in Me and Earl and The Dying Girl. She just picked up one of the leads in the new Steven Spielberg film, Ready Player One. This was a huge book, released back in 2010 by Ernest Cline, about a new virtual reality universe called The Oasis, which contains a series of puzzles that can be solved, giving the player vast real-life fortune.
All right.
Right? Yeah, it was a big book, and she's going to be the star, so that's good news.
And alien angle. If it's Spielberg, there's always an alien involved.
Man, why got to be like that?
Just asking.
Steve can do a lot of different things.
All right.
A movie called Jaws. I don't remember there being aliens in that.
It was pre-alien for him.
Raiders of the Lost Ark. I remember any aliens. Then that one.
The last Raiders of the Lost
Ark. Oh, that's true. There was
had aliens in it.
That was
Thank
Lucas's
you.
Fault, though. That wasn't him.
Thank you.
Thank you. What a clown. And, of course, tonight, little programming note, there is NFL action doubleheader tonight on ESPN, the Monday Night Football games. The Atlanta Falcons hosting the Philadelphia Eagles at 4:10 p.m., followed by Minnesota Vikings at San Francisco 49ers at 7:40. And I thought this was interesting. There's a new study out that polled 1,100 National Football League fans and asked them to predict how many games their favorite and most hated teams would win during the 2015 season. You'd be surprised. There was less bias towards the more popular and successful teams by both teams that liked them and hated them than there were amongst teams that were lower in profile. They call it the optimism gap. For example, if you like the Cincinnati Bengals, their fans are saying, they're going to win 19 games. They had to be reminded it was only 16 games.
They don't play 19.
And then there are people who hated the team said, they're going to win minus four games. They'll take four games away from them next season. That was a huge gap. But teams that were liked and hated in large amounts, there was a closer guess between how many games those teams would win. Even if you hated a team, for example, that's what I'm saying, is you would guess they would win a lot of games. For example, according to the study, the most hated team in the NFL?
Who could it be?
It would be the New England Patriots.
New England Patriots?
You might be surprised to hear, Allie.
No!
Most hated team in the NFL. However, also most liked team in the NFL. And the guesses from those two groups of people were similar in how many wins and losses they would have. So it seems like the more high-profile a team it is, even if they're hated, people have to give them a certain amount of respect and assume they will win a certain number of games. I thought that was interesting.
Makes sense.
Yes. The only oddity from the study was when asked about the Miami Dolphins, people said, are they still playing in the league? They asked, so... It was the only oddity.
That is a strange thing.
Poor little Chip over there. Just
she had to jump up to flip you off.
Shaking her tiny little head and just holding a magnifying glass up to her finger so I could see it.
But that fumble yesterday was pretty
awesome,
right?
That was a great
right?
fumble, yeah. That literally became football for a while. People kicked the ball around for about 50 yards on the field trying to get a handle on it.
I mean, Jarvis Landry had that 69-yard punt return, touchdown, and a couple of interceptions. That was my favorite play of the whole game.
It was. The pinball fumble, as it will be known. Speaking of, real quick, another football side. I'm sorry to talk about so much football. I'm just excited to have it back. There was a guy. We talk about fandom often on the show. There was a guy that used to show up for the Jets all the time called Fireman. What was it Fireman Al? Fireman Ed. Fireman Ed. He used to lead the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets chant for years.
At the stadium.
For years at the stadium. And he's a guy who wears a white fireman hat with the Jets logo on it and comes dressed every game. And he would lead that cheer in the stands for years until the butt fumble game. In the butt fumble game, where Sanchez famously fumbled a ball off his butt.
Yeah. Against the Patriots. It was on Thanksgiving.
No, okay.
All right, easy.
Okay.
He left at halftime and said, I'm never coming back to this stadium. This team is the worst. I abandoned them. He spit on the ground. He tore his clothes. And he walked out saying, I shall never be back.
He was a famous fan.
Famous
right?
fan.
What?
Abandoned the team. Just
you
cut
can't
ties,
do that.
Just washed his head. Good luck, everybody. He did the blackjack dealer hand movement and just a table.
You can't do that.
So we stayed away for years back in the stadium yesterday to try to cheer his team. I would kick the crap out of that guy if I was a Jets fan.
How'd that go?
Apparently they let him do it.
He said it was the most energized Jets cheer. In a very long time.
I would not let him lead my cheers if he came back to the stadium after saying that BS. Not welcome, sir. Good times and bad. Ups and downs. That's fandom.
Well, I think he came back to the stadium to watch games, just not as Fireman Ed. He went back
That's
to the
also
seats.
Not acceptable.
Whatever. You can't sneak in incognito. Oh, now I'm Policeman Dave. Wearing a cop hat and everything, trying to fool us, faking your identity.
That's a change job.
Yeah, I'm Mailman Steve. He's got a big satchel of undelivered letters over his shoulder. I don't care about it. He tries to sneak into the stadium. Either you are, or you're there, or you're not there. Just do or not do.
He was there. What I'm saying.
You're the worst.
Fireman Ed. He was just him.
I don't like it. Today's celebrity birthdays. Sam Neill. Speaking of Spielberg, Steven Spielberg directed him in a little film I like to call Jurassic Park.
You call it that because?
That was the name of the film. I believe he returned for Jurassic cul-de-sac? Wasn't that the second one?
I don't think there's a cul-de-sac.
Yeah, there was a park and a cul-de-sac and then Jurassic Boulevard, Jurassic Shopping Mall. Wasn't that? I can't remember.
I don't know. I can't tell you.
68 years old today. Andrew Lincoln of The Walking Dead fame is 42. And our own, our very own, you know him, you love him, you can't live without him. He is number 32 on the field, number one in your heart. Beer mug, everybody. Beer mug.
Yeah,
showing a birthday.
Good, good boy.
Good boy, beer mug. Good boy. Here's a snossage. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Says he's given up weed now.
I know. It's
this
all
is
over.
A new thing.
It's a new world.
He's been
it's
talking about
life.
It for months after, after my birthday.
It's starting at my birthday. No weed and 30 pounds off.
How high is he going to be today?
All high.
Tomorrow off. All right. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we got a brand new internet roundup. We got comedian Brian Regan. That is tomorrow.